Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here live tonight. Good to be here tonight. Hopefully everybody's doing good. We'll be praying for you tonight, taking communion tonight, so let's get ready for that. All right, hang on a minute here. All right, we're here to pray for you tonight and believe God with you, to prophesy over you. We've got for your financials to be blessed and pray over financials tonight. So if you want to give tonight, just text me and I'll send you several different ways you can give. So text me at 214-505-8719 and we will get you that information. All right. Give me just a moment. I'm going to have to hang up and come right back. All right, welcome everyone. I think we're on it now. Get your communion cup together. We're going to take communion tonight. We're going to leave God for a transfer of wealth. So don't forget about that. Don't forget about the transfer of wealth. We believe in God for that. Be faithful to the Lord, whatever he tells you to do. All right, so here we go. We are looking forward to praying for you tonight. Like I said, if you want to give tonight and you don't have that information or don't have a link, you can do that. You can text me at 214-505-8719, and I will be glad to get that to you. Very, very happy to get it to you. All right. So there you go. All right, let's go here. I've got a little minor thing going on here tonight, but I think we got it. Telling you, there are things going on. It's really cool. Byron Stinson, who is the guy who puts the temple, helps the Jews put their temple together, and he's the one who kind of got connected to the Red Heifer that connected to my friends. Byron, remember we talked about him a while back, and I've never even asked him to come on the show before, but I've asked him now. And see if he works it back in his schedule. I think he's moving back to Israel. He's in Israel during the summertime. He stays in Texas during the winter and goes back to Israel during the summer. For some reason, I don't know what that's about, but there you go. So there you are, and we are going to be hopefully talking with him soon. And I don't know if I'll find out anything new or not, but they said the Red Heifer situation are going well. So we're glad about that. The Red Heifers are still red, which is really good, because if they're not red, it doesn't work, right? Yeah, and one of the big things they're saying about the Red Heifer situation that's different than all the other Red Heifers is that that the mothers, which are, 4 and 5 years old, are still red to this day, fully red. So when the Jews saw that, that's what Byron's talking about, when the Jews saw that and they saw that and they realized that the mothers were red, then the fact that the, 5 out of 20, which they've had like 21 of them at one time, that, 5, it'd be one of them, right? They picked the reddest of the red, and they especially found one particular red heifer that was really good. But anyway, so that's kind of what's going on with that, and kind of an update on that. Hopefully he'll come on the show here soon, and working with his timing. I think he's like getting back into Israel right now. I'm sure he's right there right now, but in the process, so we'll be waiting for that. We're communicating with him right now. He texted me back, and hopefully we'll talk to him soon and get him on the show and share some things firsthand, what's going on with the temple, and because there's some real things happening that are a little bit, not up in arms, but getting armed with the excitement, and the nervousness of the whole thing. So anyway, it's really looks like it's just happening, y'all. I mean, this is sounds unbelievable. It's just hard to just say this is going on sometimes, but because we've been waiting what, thousands of years, a couple thousand, hundreds and hundreds of years, and with a generation, it looks like. And you know how awesome that is. And the fact that you know we here at PGN were, you know, extremely connected and didn't even know it, and it just really tells you. The PGN is blessed, and we may not be the biggest, the whatever, the most, the best speakers in town, but I'm telling you, friend, God has truly blessed us, and there's much, much, much more to come around the corner for PGN. So we're looking forward to that. I know people will be calling during the show, may talk about it again, but during the night. But really exciting to watch this go on. And to see how, you know, we are right in the middle of it. God told me years ago that I would be right in the middle of everything prophetically. And now, you know, I didn't even know what he meant by that. I'm thinking everything in the middle of everything prophetically. What is, I didn't even know what that meant. And so it's really exciting to know that it's actually happening. I mean, you know, to my shock, actually, to my surprise. And just really awesome. So I hope you're rejoicing with me about that. And don't forget about your part, whatever God is speaking to you to do, to pray and to believe God and to stand with us on whatever God is saying to do, right? Yeah, so it's really, really going to be really, really awesome that we are just positioned by God to, you know, watch some amazing things go on. Yeah, watch some amazing things go on. And we're going to be, like I said, right there in the middle of it. So we will see what's going on with all of it. It will unfold as we, you know, as we speak. There's some major things going on. The financial thing is one of the big things. There's going to be a lot of other things happening. When I say big, I'm talking about massive. The financial crash is going to be a massive situation with the shifting of the one world government and all that. It's the major shift of it. So, you know, make sure your source is God. Make sure you're not just, you know, doing whatever you feel like doing, whenever you feel like doing it with, you know, being religious and, you know, make sure you're walking in the will of the Father because that's where your fruit is. Remember that? We talked about that last month. The fruit is not how many of you get saved, how much money you give to poor and needy or to ministries, how much prayer you pray. Fruit is doing the will of the Father. If you never win one person to Jesus, but you... Your family is what he had you focus on, and you focus on it like he told you to, and you didn't get distracted with a bunch of other things. And he said, I want you to focus on that. Then, friend, you're going to be sitting up there with Billy Graham and the whole crew. Right, we talked about that last night. So if you didn't get that teaching, that revelation, make sure and get it because it's really, really cool. And it just really is a beautiful thing to hear. And it kind of sets people free because if you think that your fruit is born only by the fact that you win people to Christ and you're an evangelist, then there's a lot of us aren't going to be getting much fruit going on, right? A lot of us. And I mean, I've had a few salvations in my time. I used to witness every day, and I planted a lot of seed, I know that for sure, and seen some people come to Jesus, you know, in the streets. And I didn't get a chance to evangelize them or, you know, disciple them, so I don't know where they're at to this day. But you know, everybody does their job. And if you're not called to disciple, you're called to plant seeds, then plant seeds. You know, do what God's called you to do. That's the thing. And get rid of the guilt and the shame of, you know, fruit bearing only being the fact that you made a lot of money and gave it to God. Or you talked to a lot of people about Jesus and got them saved. You know, that's not – so fruit is, you know, much different than what we've been taught, or at least what I've been taught. So hopefully you got a hold of that the other night. It was awesome teaching. I was really surprised how well the Lord brought it out. So hopefully you're getting a hold of that and getting some guilt and shame off of you and maybe finding yourself. See, the more times that we get guilt and shame off of us or condemnation. Condemnation is a counterfeit, I think, of conviction of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit convicts you to change you into the image of Jesus, to get you to yield to the Lord. you know, condemnation makes looks like conviction, but it is making you feel bad about things that may or may not be anything to do with sin or evil or bad, right? Yeah, and so and there's a lot of different elements to condemnation. But that's one of the reasons that I started taking communion years ago. Was the Holy Spirit finally, you know, nailed me on it? He said, "I thought you'd take communion every day." I quit taking it regularly. Really, it was just I'd never done it before, and he convinced me. That's what the Holy Spirit does with me. You see, he takes me aside, and he knows me. He knows how you learn. He knows what you need to get it. He took me aside and just said, "You know, I'm doing this. I want you to take communion because it affects the condemnation realm." And I thought, "What do you mean by that?" And he started showing me what the condemnation realm was. How that I many times thought it was the Holy Spirit convicting me of something when really it was just pure condemnation, right? It's amazing. Yeah. So very, very, very exciting to know. So when I talked the other night about the fruit-bearing teaching, it wasn't so much about even about the will of God and, you know, being perfectly in the will of God as much as it is about, you know, what bearing fruit is. Bearing fruit is doing the will of the Father, period. period. No added to it, no taken away from it. It is simply doing the will of the Father. If God has you praying people on your job where you're at, he has you praying for them, you know, you never know who you're praying for on your job. If you have 50 people working in your company or 500 people or 50,000 people working, you're praying for people, you never know who you're praying for. So, you know, you may be feeling guilty that I'm not out there winning, I'm not winning all these employees over to Jesus, you know, by getting them in a corner and like I've done many times, and get them to pray the sinner's prayer and receive Jesus as their Savior. You may not be doing that, so you're feeling guilty. But you know what? Maybe the job you have is interceding for those on your job, and there might be one or two people there that are going to change the world. You never know. They may change the world, you know, in a way that's ministry-wise. They may change the world in a way that, you know, helping, you know, nations, you know, discipling nations, helping people in nations, helping the poor and the needy, making a great wealth so that they can fund the kingdom of God, the things that God is really doing. Because listen, let me tell you something, friend. If you're making the will of God first in your life, and if it's about you making money for the kingdom, then everything you make money for that you put in out of the will of God, you're in the will of God in your job, and your job is to you focus a lot on, man, I love to make money. People think that's just wrong and evil. I'm telling you, but some people have an anointing to make money. So what are they going to think about a lot? They're going to think about money. I've had friends of mine. I've had loved ones of mine who complain, you know, man, my daddy, he just thinks, all he thinks about is money, made a lot of money, but all he thought about was money. And so what they did was, without knowing it, that, you know, if he would have known that Jesus had called him to do that, then he could have been maybe adjusted some, but stopped thinking about making money. No, if that's what God called him to do, to fund the will of God. A lot of people have businesses and money, and they fund everything except the will of God. They're funding things that have nothing to do with what God is doing. And they think they're just going to be, oh, I'm just bearing fruit. I'm going to reap great benefits because I'm doing this particular thing. And number one, maybe the way they're making money isn't the will of God. And maybe they think it is, and they're pumping money into things that are not the will of God. Believe me, these people are going to come up dry. I don't care how much they help and do things. It's all about the will of the Father. That's why Jesus said, it is my meat to do the will of my Father. It's my food. It's my substance. It's my strength. It's my purpose. It's to do the will of the Father. Jesus said, I don't do anything except what I see my Father do. So what does that do for us? Well, it makes us groan a little bit, in a good way, and go, God, you know, help me to walk in your will. See, and if we can set people free from thinking walking in the will of God is being in the ministry, some people think if they're not in the ministry, they're not in the will of God. Well, if you're supposed to be in the ministry, and you're right, you're not in the will of God. But if you're just so we as we begin to realize that our ministry, there's different levels of ministry. One of the levels of ministry is walking in the will of God. And when you walk in the will of God, your ministry is to, of course, whatever you're focusing on, whatever God is you focus on, that is important to God. In other words, that's the part that needs to be your total focus maybe. Maybe you don't have time to go out and evangelize anybody or anything, right? So God has got you so focused on that thing that you're doing, that business, that, you know, that job you're on, your ministry, your church, whatever you're doing. And when you may not be up there behind the pulpit, but if you're in the will of God in that church or in that ministry and you're praying to intercede, you're gonna have the same rewards as the pastor that you're praying for that's in the will of God. You're gonna have on award ceremony day, and on Jesus saying who bore the most fruit. Well, all I did was intercede and pray for the pastor. Yeah, but you know what, friend? That was the will of God. And if you try to like get out from being the intercessor and try to be the prophet or the preacher, and you get out from underneath that, and you try to start being something that you're not, friend, it's going to mess you up. It doesn't mean that, I think it's going to be greater to be a preacher. Well, in the eyes of some people, it is. But what's greater is, what Jesus looked at greatness was the will of the Father. Does God just have you in that church, in that ministry, or in that business, in that job, that company, praying for people, talking to people, you know, here and there about the Lord and giving them information? If that's the will of God for you, friend, that is ministry in a similar way. It's the same kind of ministry that prophets and evangelists and pastors do, right? Yeah, five-fold ministry is different from, you know, secular world, you know, living for Jesus. But at the same time, when it comes to bearing fruit, if you're called to not be behind the pulpit and to be praying and interceding for people, that's your ministry. You got to think of it as your priesthood, as your calling. When you see that, you're going to start looking at what you do is a lot more important to God than what you've ever thought about doing. Is anybody getting this? Because I'm not talking about this just for the deception. I want to set people free in Jesus' name. I want to see people get free of this condemnation of feeling like that if they're not behind the pulpit doing something, they're just not doing much. So they strive to get behind that pulpit. They strive to get in there and do that ministry stuff, man. It's like everybody talks about, oh, the pastor this, the pastor being a pastor. Oh, being a prophet. You know what God talks about? He goes, oh, being an intercessor, being a friend to people. You know, if that's whatever the will of God is, right? You know, just like Jesus said, the woman with two mites was given more than, she was given her living more than all the rest of the people given a lot. Friend, it's not about being in positions that are great to men. It's what is God telling you to do? Obviously, that woman having her two mites, it wasn't the will of God for her to be wealthy, at least not yet. I don't know if she ever became wealthy or not, but she was satisfying God in the fruit realm and bearing fruit and praise from God for giving her two little pence. Jesus just praised that woman, man. He said, this woman right here, she's doing more than all the rest of them. She's doing the will of the Father. And Jesus just lifted her up, man, and raised her up and said, this woman is awesome. This woman is amazing. Because she realized her ministry was, many different things, but her ministry was giving of her living to God. And somehow, some way, that gave God the thrill and the wonder and the blessing of going like, man, you know, this person's, you know, not comparing herself with the wealthy people who give all this extra cash and everybody just pats on the back. Like, man, you're awesome. You're awesome. That little woman with two mites, you know, normal people just go like, oh, well, you know, thank God she's got something, but what's her two pence going to help anybody? But Jesus comes along and he says, hey, the way I look at things, this woman right here, is walking in the will of the Father. She's doing, she's pleasing the Father. She's bearing more fruit than these multimillionaires are doing. Her ministry is a higher level ministry because she's perfecting it to the point where she's doing, God is asking her, now watch this, God is asking her to give of her living, and of her living is not much in natural terms, in the natural realm. But percentage-wise, she is pleasing the Father. He's going like, man, this woman is amazingly blessed and fruitful. And because she was, now watch this, because she was giving of her living, not just giving out of her abundance, but giving out of her living, her money she lived on, that brought such a sweet smelling savor into the nostrils of God, more so obviously, probably most wealthy people do not give of their living. Now there are some. I've heard Colonel Sanders did that. And there's others. I'm sure there's people, maybe you're one of them. Maybe you do that. But it's very rare. And what it did is it brought such honor to God that finally somebody showed up and could see in the honor realm of who is bringing greater honor to God than anybody. And Jesus walks up to her and says, this woman is the one. Well, if you're not behind the pulpit, if you're not in the priesthood, if you're not laying hands on the sick and healing up, raising the dead, sometimes I used to feel really, really shameful that I wasn't, you know, doing more of the things, because that's, once you get convinced of something and you think that's it, and you get a little few prophecies that make it look like that's what you're supposed to do, and you start trying to do that, and you end up being empty and dry, but it's not that, it's, your meat is the will of the Father. It's not how many people get healed in your services, or how many people you influence and talk to at the job. It's your what satisfies you, what nurtures you, what keeps you from drying up, being busy, 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 giving, 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 but giving what? Giving what? What are you giving? What percentage are you giving of your life? Not just money. What percentage are you giving of your life to God? You may work 10 hours a day, and you got 2 hours left. You think, man, I'm going to spend that time, you know, taking it easy. And some people will take that time and spend an hour of that 2 hours that they have, and they'll spend it on, you know, something with God. And people look at them and go, well, they get an hour, you know, I got an hour. They spend an hour doing this, man, another, what good is it? We got people who pray and intercede all day long. But that one person, God looks at it as, like the widow, percentage. She gets a higher level percentage than all the other ones who spend all day long. And because of her level of fruit bearing, she is causing more things to come to pass and come together in the kingdom of God, and causing more things to happen by her faith than those who are busy, busy, busy praying, praying, praying. See, I'm not knocking prayer. What I'm knocking is that what we have let the enemy condemn us and religious spirits condemn us, make us feel less than, because we're not doing what everybody go, oh, man, you know, I'm going to have a miracle ministry. Oh, wouldn't it be awesome to have a miracle ministry? Well, I've done that. I've talked with them many times. I've often, you know, just thought, God, I would love to have, I want to have a Catherine. I was very unshameful about it. I want to have a ministry like Catherine Coleman. Who doesn't, right? Of course, we don't know the things that she suffered and the things that she went through. A lot of people don't know about that. Yeah, I don't know about that. And so when we start having to pay that price, that gets pretty difficult, right? And then we start realizing, oh, if we realize what's going on, we're going to, well, maybe she went through a lot more than I thought. You bet she did. And any of your favorite men of God or women of God, you can be guaranteed, friend, the things they suffered, the abuses of the enemy, the attacks. But all those attacks and those abuses of the enemy, because they've learned how to give it to God and they're in the will of God, they turned into glory. It caused their ministry to expound and become glorious. And the more the enemy, that's what the enemy does. He gets crazy and he starts really attacking men and women of God, thinking he's going to take them out. And all he does, if the man and woman of God keeps on serving God, if they keep on And he keeps on attacking them, thinking he can. What it does, he didn't know it, but it increases their anointing. It increases their anointing. And he gets crazier and crazier. It's like he did with Jesus. He just kept getting more jealous and more crazy. Like, who is this guy? I've sent every trick his way, and he hasn't fallen for none of it. And he started getting crazy with Jesus, which is exactly what Jesus wanted him to do. He wanted the devil to lose his mind. And when he crucified him, what happened? The glory of God was released for salvation for mankind. Wow. What an amazing thing. Now, the woman, going back to the woman who gave the two mites, when people do that kind of thing, whatever it is, whatever level it is, whatever area it's in, you know, it's not just that, well, she's not receiving praise of men. Most men wouldn't praise her for that. Only Jesus recognized it in the spirit by word of knowledge. But she wasn't talking about it. She wasn't bragging about it. That's why nobody pat her on the back. No one knew but Jesus. And that's one of the things that made what she did precious. Some people probably guessed that she was doing that, but nobody really knew for sure. And he realized that when she was living her life that way, she was causing more of the glory of God to happen in Israel than anybody else was, so to speak, because of what she was doing, because of the purity and the level. You got to remember, the level of anointing comes by the level and the measure, or by the percentage of what you do unto God, of doing his will 100%. The devil's favorite strategy is to get somebody from using 100% of their faith toward 100% of the will of God in their life, to get them distracted doing everything but that. Because he knows when you walk in the will of God, you are going to bring great honor and great glory to God. And God's going to be going like, wow, man. I mean, and everybody else's eyes are going like, you're not doing a whole lot. You're not really seeing much. You're not really like getting, pats on the back, which is part of the test, by the way, patting that woman on the back for giving her 2 pence. Are you kidding me? I'm just telling her to hurry and get out of the way so people that have more money can give. And God's going like, every time she goes ka-ching, ka-ching with her 2 little pence, God's going, glory. Hallelujah. The angel's going, glory, because the angels knew it. God knew it. And every time she'd put her 2 little pence in, it's like ka-ching, ka-ching in the Holy Ghost, like fruit everywhere, bearing fruit for God. Bearing fruit for God. God's going to bear fruit in the heavenlies because this one woman, hallelujah, is given of her living, like not 100%, but 90. I don't know what the percentage was that she gave, but it was an amazing measure, an amazing percentage. And so God got this little secret weapon over here in the corner. Nobody knows about it except when Jesus brought it forth, the secret weapon that gave her 2 little pence. And when she put them in the offering bucket, it's like the angels could, the angels got slain in the spirit. The angels are like, "What? Here she comes. Oh, God, watch out. Oh, my God. There's 1 pence. Oh, did you feel it? Oh, Jesus. Oh, the glory. There comes the other one now, the other pence. Woo-hoo! Oh, Lord. Oh, we can't handle it when she gives like that. The glory just hits us so hard. It's just amazing. Right? Thinking about doing things like men do them, and neither was Jesus. We're not just talking about money tonight, friend. We're talking about your life. This message isn't real resonating with a lot of people because they want to be into big, everything big. They don't do anything with when they got little. They just wait, well, when I get a lot of it, when I get a lot more time, I'm going to be giving a lot more of my time to God. I guarantee it. When I get a lot more money, I'm going to be giving a lot more money. Right now, what's my 2 cents going to be doing anybody? And that's the way they look at it. So what do they do? There ain't no ka-ching, ka-ching glory going off for them at all. God doesn't look at it like that. You're 2 little pence. You're $5 a month or whatever it is you give to God, whatever it is. I mean, if that's of your living, friend, I mean, come on. I mean, when it hits the bucket, it's like hot grease, hot oil in a pan, and you throw the chicken in there or whatever you throw in there, and it like, you know, it kind of explodes a little bit. You know, if you're not careful. It's the same thing. God's not looking at things like we look at them, friend. He's looking at completely different. He sees the percentage of what you do. Especially if you don't go around talking about it all the time. Yeah, we're going to feel, oh, yeah, so-and-so gave 40% of, I gave 40% of my money last year. 40%, yeah. God's like going, well, there went some of the glory off of you because you sat there and like, you know, hey, come on. I mean, Jesus prayed over those offerings, but she wasn't going, I'm giving of my living, everybody. Looky here. Everybody like, who cares? Your living ain't much of nothing. But that's not what God said. God's going like, wow. Man, she releases the glory of God every time she does anything with her time. But you know she didn't just do that with her money. She did it with everything. Your money proves who you are because that's the thing that the love of it is the root of all kinds of evil, right? Yeah. This is not a message about money, friend. This is a message about the will of the Father. How much of your life are you being distracted by things that because some religious spirited thing telling you need to be doing this instead of doing what God has called you to do, even though it may not be getting much attention, you may not be standing behind the pulpit with people's praises about what a great preacher you are and what a great anointing you have and what a great business you're running, how much money you got. He's looking at the percentage of your life that you give to him. Wow. God, I want to do that. Jesus, let me do that. And let me not brag about it. So he says, when you fast, don't go around telling everybody you're fasting. You know, it breaks the beauty of the secret of the thing you're doing for God. And believe me, I tell people I fasted, you know, when I used to fast, I would tell people sometimes I'm fasting. I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just telling you stuff that I've learned. I mean, God is good. God is good. So we're looking for fruit. God wants us to bear forth much fruit, much of the will of God. What is fruit? We're going to start looking at fruit in a whole different way. We're going to get to a little more in Scripture as we go along here. We'll talk about it here and there, off and on, kind of remind you about it, and so we can start renewing our mind toward what bearing fruit means instead of walking around feeling condemned, not even realizing we feel condemned because we're not out evangelizing and, you know, preaching to the nations. Oh, I just got my little, David just had his little old sheep over there, and those few little sheep, that's what his brother said. Oh, we're out here fighting the army with Goliath, even though we're scared to death of him. You, David, why don't you go back to your little old sheep out there in the wilderness? And he didn't know it. Just like Joseph, David was being trained with those few little sheep because he was putting 100% of protecting those sheep and trusting God to take care of things. Because he did, that prepared him to be king and be the greatest warrior that ever lived. Yeah. Sometimes when you're in a place you're not getting much attention, friend, put this before a little bit, but when you do some research, you find out that really the greatest people, the most powerful people, many times are not trying to get attention. Wow, that does away with a lot of us, doesn't it? It's like, so I'm not talking about trying to get attention like we sit around and don't do anything and hide in the corner. I'm talking about whatever we're doing, like we're fasting. Well, we just let everybody know I'm on a 40-day fast. People could tell I was fasting because I got real skinny. I go from 200 pounds to, you know, 160, literally. Literally 160 pounds, and I'm 160. I'm skinning bones. Lord, teach us how to do that. Lord, teach Randy, teach me, teach us show us how to bring you glory. Teach us how to step into the glory realm, like the woman who gave her two mites, how that every time she threw her pennies into the altar, an explosion of glory went off because it was like, you know, even though the other people were putting in millions, she put in her little two little pence, and it's like they were, it was glory money because it was like, you know, a high level measure of fruit. It's like she was dumping like 5 million apples into the, in, you know, fruit into the thing. All people could see with two pennies, you know, but she was giving like, you know, she was dropping in there like, you know, 500,000 apples. It's like overflowing the offering bucket. And that's how God saw it. And when it happened, man, when her money went in there, woo, whatever she did, when her prayers went up, she prayed with her heart, and she gave her time to God. She focused on God. When she got in there, man, she didn't go half to God, half to something else. She got her total, complete attention on Jesus and interceded and prayed for people. I guarantee you, because her life, your money around will tell you where you're at. God, your percentage of what you give, everything else that. Oh, I give everything. I give a high level percentage of all my life, except for my money. Now, nobody knows what your percentage is. Nobody knows, right? It's not like anybody knows that. Nobody knew it with her, except Jesus, right? But it's doing it unto the Lord. You want to walk in the glory realm, praises to God. You want to see the angels, wait to see how what you do tomorrow and what you pray and how focused you are when you're praying. And how you're giving 100% of your thinking, 100% of your focus is on Jesus when you're seeking him for prayer. Every time you do, the angels go, I wonder what she's going to get tonight. Oh, my God, she focuses so heavy. She's so 100% of her mind is like totally focused in on God. Let's see what the Lord shows her tonight. Man, this is going to be awesome. And they stand around and watch her. Well, and they would the priest in there who were raised learning the law, learning the word. All right, let's pray for offerings tonight. We're going to take communion. Get your communion cup if you would, and get your juice. And let's pray and let's believe God for, I'm going to start calling this the wealth transfer communion. Instead of calling it communion, call it the wealth transfer. What happened with Jesus on the cross was a wealth transfer, right? He bought back everything. If you could have seen, what I love about Jesus, just like Jesus with the widow, God with Jesus, like Jesus is the widow in a sense, giving his living, giving his life. And the percentage of what he did was he gave everything to the Father, everything to the Father. We take communion. When we remember him, we're remembering somebody who, just like the widow, gave 100%. 100%. That, my friend, is amazing. That's amazing. Wow. All right, so we take communion. What are we doing? Remembering about the wealth transfer. That's what went on during communion. We're going to start talking about what communion really means and start shifting gears on this and start moving into different levels so that if you can hang with me on this. And let's just talk about this for a little bit. Like we've shared many times before, we always have new people, so I like to try to give a quick overall view. When Jesus said, Paul the Apostle, when Paul the Apostle said, 1 Corinthians 11, when he said, let me just go there and we'll get it. I don't know why Bible Hub doesn't come up on this thing. All right, go to 1 Corinthians 11. Let's talk about this for a second. I want to just kind of teach you what the Lord is teaching me, what I believe the Lord taught Paul. 1 Corinthians 11, let's just look at this just for a second, for a minute maybe a few minutes. All right, because I think if you can get this in you, it'll change the way you take communion and the purpose of it. How much doctrine is in here, man? It's amazing. When I say doctrine, I mean like, well, the way God deals with things, right? The way God handles things, the way God does things, literally. especially when it comes to how he wraps up stuff, how he takes care of his people. All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians 11 and verse. I just want to kind of go over this real quick. Before we take it, I want to just kind of go over this. Paul says, I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you. But why was this so important? Why was the institution of the Lord's Supper so vital? Just like when Moses did it in Egypt, right? Remember that? God said, do this as a memorial for all the days of your life, of your nation, the Jewish nation. It became a memorial. It became something that they did on a regular basis. They never forgot what happened in Egypt. See, and that's what the whole Jewish community is set upon, is what God did in Egypt with Passover. The most holy celebration is Passover because it was what they remembered, you know, what God did with Moses and how God and dealt with his people and made it very clear that he was sanctifying and setting apart his people from wrath, that they're not appointed to wrath. See, that's the scripture that said they're not appointed to wrath. Exactly right. You know why? They were standing right there, and the wrath was going on all around them, or severe judgment, whatever you want to call it. And they were set apart. Right? They were sanctified. They were set apart. Pointed to wrath. Wrath was not headed toward them. It was going all around them, but not coming to them. Right? So this is what you got to remember in taking communion. What we're looking for is wealth transfer, is what we're going to talk about tonight. We're looking for a wealth transfer. And what led up to that wealth transfer was the process that God took them through, because the whole thing was leading to the wealth transfer, if you will, as far as, you know, their currency for their nation. It's going to take it out of Egypt. They're going to take their currency. The currency they're going to use in their nation was going to come out of Egypt in the institution of Passover, the Lord's Supper, which is what Jesus is calling it now. Jesus was celebrating when he said, do this in remembrance. He was celebrating what the Jews always celebrated about Passover. What was that? What Moses and what God did in Egypt when he brought the plagues, and then the final plague, watch this, the final plague, the 10th plague, which came to the people of Israel, they put the blood on the doorpost so that the plague did not affect them, even though they already, covenant people, they're already, quote, saved, or God's children. So it's not like they were getting saved. They were setting themselves apart by the blood covenant, fresh and anew. And then the night that happened and the angel of death passed over and killed Egyptians everywhere, the purpose for killing the Egyptians, it's the first time that God pointed to the Egyptians to kill the Egyptians specifically. Gave them a chance, told them they can put the blood on the doorpost too. Gave them an opportunity. They all knew. They all knew about it. So God's a just God, right? He wasn't just like planning for them. And so the 10th plague, the final devastation, the purpose for bringing down the gods for 9 plagues and then the 10th plague to deal the final blow was so that they could walk out with the wealth. That was what it was for. God told Moses this at the burning bush. He said, you're going to have, you know, the women, they're going to have their neighbors. They're going to get the silver and the gold. Everybody's going to do it. What was the process God was thinking about? The plagues, the wrath, the devastation to Egypt, and the jealousy of God racking up on Egypt, saying, that's not your river. Your God didn't make that river. I made that river, and I'm going to show you because I'm going to turn it into blood through my servant. And all the other things he did. The culmination of it, friend, was for the wealth transfer. So they walked out with gold and silver and cloth, part of it to build the temple, and part of it for their daily living currency that they would have when they got to Canaan. They didn't need anything to buy much, you know, when they were in the wilderness. It wasn't about the wilderness, you know, the wilderness stores. There were no stores in the wilderness. So you see what I'm saying? This is important for us to understand what this communion that we're doing, what it really is all about. The purpose of it, the culmination of it is. And what we're going to see here in the future, in the near future, is going to be the culmination of plagues and problems and things and devastation, and God's going to have a wealth transfer. I'm not talking about if you give to my ministry, God's going to bless you to have a wealth transfer. That's a lot of preachers. So I'm not talking about that. I'm not into that, as you know. We don't even talk about that. It has nothing to do with anything as far as, in general, giving your money so you can get a wealth transfer. That has nothing to do with any of that, what I'm talking about. A lot of preachers talk about that still. Benny Hinn, one of them. I love Benny Hinn. He said, put the blood on the doorpost, because tonight you're going to get behind the door. The angel of death is coming. What was he going to do? He's going to be killing the firstborn of those, any of them, Jew or Gentile. That's what I love about it. God is not being a respecter of persons. That's why he told him, you better put the blood on your doorpost, because I'm coming your way on this one. So they did it. They were protected. Who wasn't protected were the people in Egypt of the world who had the gold and silver in their houses, like anybody has, you know, keeps money in the bank, that they kept their money in their houses. So when their children died and their husband died and their animals died, which represents their wealth, like a curse, when your firstborn dies, it's kind of like a curse is on you, basically. So God knows that stuff, what did he do? He whacked. For the first time, a plague was designed to kill some people. In this case, the firstborn of every family in Egypt and in Israel, if they didn't put the blood on the doorpost. Yeah, I had my sound on. Okay, what's the last thing that I said? I turned it off because I had to blow my nose. I don't know the last thing I said when I turned it off. Okay, so we're talking about the design and purpose of communion. We're talking about the design and purpose, and what are we supposed to be remembering? It's about a wealth transfer. Blow the doorpost, thank you. Yes, and so you have to understand all the other plagues didn't come to Egypt, and it didn't kill any human beings, you know, on purpose. Now, some people died because they didn't come out of the hail. Moses even told him, he said, you don't need Egyptians, get your servants out of the field and get your animals out of here because the hail's going to come and get. You know, Moses was trying to help them. And they said, we don't really, some believed and some didn't. Some brought their servants and their cattle and put them under, you know, under the rocks or under protection, you know, where they wouldn't die, and some of them didn't. So, but the only plague that was designed to kill people was the last plague. Now, we're going to talk more about this in the future, but you're going to have to get a hold of this thing and start listening really closely, because what I'm going to tell you, you're not going to understand it right now, but you're going to have to remember that we told you this before it starts happening. So, the last plague was designed to do what? To get them the wealth transfer and then get them finally out of Egypt. That was the main purpose of that death blow, because God told Moses at the bush, he says, you're going to, he didn't tell him when, he said, you're going to have a wealth transfer, and what you're going to do is you're going to have the women, in this situation, women, in fact, then later he said men and women for some reason, you're going to go to your neighbors in Egypt, and you're going to ask for the gold and silver. That's what he told them. They told him that at the bush. This is not a thing that came up all of a sudden, spontaneously. God had designed this. So finally, when it's happening, and the other plagues have just been tearing up everything, and everybody's believing, even the Egyptians are believing in Moses now. Even Pharaoh's people, his leadership is going like, dude, you need to be listening. You need to be listening to this guy, because God is with him. I mean, we ain't never seen nothing like this before. This is like one plague after the other, and he's naming it and claiming it, and it's all being done just as he said it. So we've never seen anything like this before, ever, in Egypt.
So they were shaking to the core, and then the final blow, now listen to me, the final blow was about to happen. And what was the first thing that was going to happen after the final blow? A wealth transfer. A wealth transfer. So what happened? God designed the last plague to be for the wealth transfer. How is he going to do that? He said, he told Moses, I'm going to give you favor with the Egyptians. Boy, when God says, I'm going to give you favor, he has a strange sense of humor when he tells Moses, I'm going to give you favor. I'm going to give the people of Israel favor with the Egyptians. And watch how he got. So you got to understand, God doesn't think like we do. And he said, I'm going to give you favor with them. So he kills their firstborn, their animals, their husband, their son. They're all laying dead in the living room. And they were already devastated. Fear had already been on them already. And then God did all that fear stuff. He did that. And then the peak of that fear was for two main reasons. One of the first reasons was the wealth transfer. The second was to get them out of Egypt. So when they went, the firstborn are dead. They're sitting there in the living room. The mamas are crying. The Bible says there's a cry throughout Egypt that had never been heard before, never before that, and never since then. Because in every household, y'all, there were dead children and dead husbands, dead males and dead animals, firstborn. And God says, go now, right now, while it's fresh. This is the favor thing he's about, which is not funny, but it's definitely amazing. Go now. I'm going to give you favor with them now. So they knock on the door, and they said, they said, what do you want? We want the gold and the silver and the cloth. They said, well, come on in and take it before we get it, before God kills all of us, which was the very thing God wanted them to believe. Why? Because he had designed a wealth transfer before they got transferred out of Egypt, so that they had a currency. Now, remember, I've been talking about currency for a long time. Some of you haven't really listened to that close. You might want to start listening now that Texas is getting their own currency. And that's a for sure thing now. Yeah. So you might want to listen a little closer when we're talking about prophesying this, but please hear this out because it might help you in the future. Went in there, took the gold, the silver, the cloth. They're going through these people's houses. They're in there weeping and crying because their children are dying. God says, this is the favor I told you I was going to give. Because, yeah, a favor? Yeah. Come on in before we all die and take whatever you want and get out. That was the favor, y'all. How would you like to have that kind of favor? Boy. Wow, what favor. What kind of favor is that? I don't know, but it's amazing. They walked out. They had their bags packed. They were already, he had planned the whole thing out. He said, get your bags packed, you know, make bread with no leaven, you know, and all that, and get ready. Because as soon as you get the money, you're going to have to run because they're going to change their mind. Even though for months Egypt had been being devastated by God, and then they end up taking their money. And then when they got, God knew that when they got the money, and I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you more about this in the future, but how it's going to happen, but don't blow your minds. But he knew that once they got the money, that was like the well, you have to think about this. What if you had a really, really bad time with the neighbors and the neighbors kept, you know, praying, it's walking around your house and praying, oh, in the name of Jesus, God, we ask you to deal with those people, they're not safe. And your whole house starts falling apart. Your house starts, you know, just things start going wrong everywhere for days and days and days. And, you know, fleas show up at your house. And then the neighbor goes, okay, fleas, you can be gone now. And the next day the neighbor shows up and says, okay, they didn't get right with God today, God, so bring the frogs. And then frogs show up all in your house, you know, and your neighbor's doing this to you. So finally, it comes down to, and said, oh, God, they still didn't repent, so take out their firstborn, their animals, their dogs, their horses, the cattle. Take out the firstborn, God. So now they got dead horses, dead sheep, firstborn sheep. Well, they didn't have sheep. Egyptians didn't like sheep. Cattle, horses, all that. They're dead, including their husbands and their firstborn sons, the ones that opened the womb. Are dead. and then the neighbor comes up to your house, knocks on the door and says, hey, Mr. Heathen. He said, what do you want? You're in there because you just been through hell for the last few months. Everything's gone wrong with your house. I mean, it stinks with frog stuff and, you know, the death. And he, you know, he's all over. He said, what do you want? Well, we need some gold and silver and some cloth. He said, oh, hurry up. And so you're in there weeping and crying over your feet. You're just freaked out. And they're just, where is it at? It's right there. No, turn left, right there in that bedroom. It's right back there, the gold and silver. Just take it and get out. What good's it going to do us if we're all dead? That was the strategy, not of the devil. That was the strategy, y'all, of Almighty God. Almighty God. That is called favor, if you don't know it. Not the kind of favor I've ever had, not that I remember, but what a favor God said I'm going to give you. Oh, yeah, he gave him favor, all right. They're saying get the stuff and get out of here before we all die. That's favor. Well, I told you I'd give you favor. I didn't tell you what kind of favor it would be. And it, oh, my God, was it ever. They walked out. They had the bags packed. They're ready to go. They're going like, you know, Moses said, you got your bag. They already had their, see, God planned the whole thing. He already had them have their bags packed and everything. Then they went and got the gold and silver, and they just packed the gold and silver. That's the last thing they packed up, the gold and silver and the cloth. They packed that up last, and they're on the way out of town. And God told them to run, basically get out of town, because, you know, he knew, even though he had devastated them for months and months and months, and then their firstborn dead. But the problem is, all that devastation was leading to taking their money, robbing the bank, if you will, in a very legitimate, permissible way, where they said, yeah, come on in and take it. They gave him permission, right? So they were like, when stealing, it was just like permanently borrowing. And God's going like, you know, he knows people. He knows how we are. He knows how people are. He said, okay, be packed and ready. Put your gold and silver in there. Pack it up. Last thing. Make sure you don't drop it, and head out of town. So they're going toward, you know, the Red Sea, and all of a sudden, you know, Pharaoh wakes up. He's going like, oh my God! Not only can we not build buildings anymore, I mean, you know, my people aren't going to do it because they're too lazy. They've been slave drivers, not slaves. And oh my God, you say that they got everybody's money? How much money did they get? A whole bunch. They got money from everybody's house, Pharaoh. Oh, my God. Mount the chariots, brothers, army. We're going to go after them. We're going to get our money back and get our slaves back. Who do they think they are? And believe me, y'all, God knew. God knew that they were going to be just like anybody else with. Their slaves leave and then your money goes with them. What is that going to do for you? That's going to tick you off just a little bit. You're going to be madder than a hornet. You're going to be like, what was I thinking? Come on in and take it. I gave them permission. Now they didn't even break the law. They didn't steal anything. I told them to come in and take whatever they wanted. Just get out. I told them to come and get it. Yeah. So what'd they do? Of course, like anybody, any normal human being would do. He went after the money, man. They started chasing them. You know, and of course, you know, they're backed up against the Red Sea. They're at the Red Sea. They're standing there going, oh, my God, Moses brought us out here to kill us. Moses, it's a setup, man. The whole thing's been a setup. It's like Paul the Apostle when Paul the Apostle got saved because he was killing Christians, right? You remember that? I read this earlier today. Paul the Apostle was killing Christians. And, you know, so when he got saved, nobody really believed he was real at first. You read Book of Acts or something, read something, you get a chance about that. They had a hard time believing that he was really real. So he had to have, you know, other people convincing him. No, we know Paul. We know Saul. Saul is now Paul, and he's really converted. He's really been preaching. He'd been being persecuted. You know, he wouldn't be doing that if he was faking it, if he was a spy. But they thought he was kind of a spy coming in to get on the inside. Well, the same thing with Moses. Moses was raised in Egypt. I read scripture today. It said he was raised with all the teachings and all the wisdom of Egypt. All that. So he had the same type of scenario. said that Moses was, Acts 7:22 said Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And watch this. He was mighty in his words and works. I don't know where his stuttering came from, but it says with Acts 7:22, Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and works. Paul the Apostle had the same problem. They just didn't believe that, you know, we can't let this guy join with us. He's been killing us. What are you doing? He's a spy. Same thing with Moses. They thought the same thing. You brought us out here to kill us, you spy. We know who you, you know, we know you don't that persecution thing, you know, like coming. Yeah, you brought us out here in the wilderness to kill us. They said it to Moses several times. Why? Because they had this suspicion that somehow that paranoia thing was kicking in. Oh, he's not really on our side. He's going to take advantage of us. He's going to take the money and he's going to run. That's what he's going to do. Yeah. He ain't no good. You got to watch that boy. He's shrewd. Wrong. Suspicion. Everywhere you look. Paul the Apostle, same way. Moses, Paul the Apostle was a mighty deliverer. They had the same issues. They thought Moses was a spy. You brought us out here now, this trick. Now you're going to kill us all. Because we know you. You were raised with those Egyptians. You were instructed in all the wisdom of those Egyptians, and you are an Egyptian, even though you say you're a Hebrew, and you're really not. You brought us out here to kill us. See, he had to deal with that. Friend, how would you like dealing with that? Oh, it's difficult. Believe me, I deal with it with some people in some ways. Believe me. It's been a trip. It's part of the thing of getting to experience some of that. So here they are, man. They get the wealth transfer going on. Who's coming out? They're coming after the money. We won't get that money back, and we want our slaves back too. We're going to get the slaves and the money. Everybody's going to know the neighbors. They're going to have the Jews go hand back, give them back their neighbors their money, and we're going to be back blessed again. And you know, we got them back. We went after them. We got them. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. I can't tell you everything, but I can tell you enough. The same thing's going to happen with some of this wealth transfer stuff. They're gonna like come after it. How did that happen? How did he know that? Who did he have contact with? You know, I mean, I heard today somebody sent me this today. Who was it sent me that? I remember who it was. I think it was one of my market friends said that Carl Icahn, you know who that is? Carl Icahn, who's an extremely wealthy man. Carl, C-A-R-L, Icahn, I-C-H-A-I-C-A-H-N, admits the mistake of losing $9 billion in believing the market was going to go down. Remember when I told y'all the market was not going to go down? Everybody, I don't know if you don't remember any of this. You have to start getting better at keeping up with this because this is really important. That's why I'm getting all these prophetic words we've been talking about. I gave words, you know, back when everybody thought the market was going to go down because it looked like it was, big time. And I made this point. The Lord said, tell them it's going to go to 33 and 34. It's not going to go down. And I told people, even here on PGN, some of our stock friends, I said, it's not going to go down. And they were freaking out. Believe me, I would mention names and stuff, but they were freaking out. I had market people calling me. Hi, Randy, how you doing today? I knew what they wanted. Well, hey, what's going on, man? How's the family? How's this and how's that? How's that? I know what you want. You want to know if the market's going down. It's not going to go down yet. Not yet. Well, Carl Icahn didn't have the blessing of listening to the servants of the Lord, and he admits to I'll send you the article if you want it. It cost him $9 billion because he was thinking the wealth transfer was going to happen, you know, back a few months ago, like a lot of them did. And even though I told him here on the show, you know, it ain't going to happen. It's not time yet. Send out text. Friends, everybody is documented. No, it's not going down yet. Don't worry, it's not going down. Oh, yeah, it's going down. Randy, they all said it's going down. I said, it's not going down. I had to almost yell at him. It's not going down. I'm telling you, it's not going down. I know what's going to go down. It ain't going down now. Oh, yeah, well, we don't believe, you know, sorry, we love you, man. So they were wrong. And, of course, I don't know anything. I know nothing. And God knows. Well, I got one guy here. This is one out of many. Lost $9 billion because he wasn't listening to the prophets.
$9 billion he lost. I could tell you a lot more, but try to stick with the big guns. keep it. I could go a lot of different directions with this stuff to kind of warn you of things and tell you what's going to happen before it happens, so you'll know that God knew this stuff and not Randy. Randy knows nothing. Randy knows, just like Joseph. Joseph said to Pharaoh, "No, I can't interpret anything. I don't know anything. If God doesn't give it to you, I don't know." And I understand that. I'm the same way. You can't. Yeah. How can you know this stuff? You can't know this stuff. Only God knows it. So when the wealth transfer happens, friend. Man, I'll be glad when I can tell you everything, but it's just some information is just so heavy that it's just amazing how this is all lining up with that in a major way, in a major way, and how it's all. But the cool thing about all this is that this is leading to the end of the ends, and it's going to bear witness because. Just like we give the name of the Antichrist, and 3 weeks later, 3 days later, the red heifer showed up, and that red heifer is still good, by the way. I'm checking up on it from the people who know, from rumors, from the people who are the people. I know them. They don't lie. What's going on with this thing? Now, I'm even telling some of these people about this crash, not the dates. I can't give the date. They're going like, no, that's not going to happen. Most of them are not going to listen. But you have to tell them anyway, so that when it does happen, they go, "Yeah, I think Prophet Chandler, Brother Chandler, Chandelier told me about that." Yeah, they'll know then. Maybe they should listen a little bit closer. There's some people who know that they know. Who knows? And they know that he's not telling. Not yet. Maybe never. I don't know what's going to happen with it. God has a strategy. You see, there's the strategy I'm talking about tonight. I hope you're listening closely. The strategy we're talking about tonight is similar to what God says. I'm going to give you favor with the Egyptians. Those are going like, that's going to be some pretty heavy favor. And we're going to walk to their neighbors and knock on the door and say, "We want some money." They're going to go, "Hell yeah, of course, honey. Here you go." Oh, and they're going to, and that's the favor. Like, they're just going to be nice and just say, "Oh yeah, you've worked so hard at building everything here in Egypt. We just want to bless you with, you know, half of our money. Half our gold and silver." No, you would think that would be tremendous favor, right? That's kind of what we think favor is. But no, that wasn't the kind of favor God was talking about. He's talking about after 9 devastating plagues of their whole nation, and then the last one hitting their family members and their wealth, for the very design and purpose of the Jews. He said, "Go now and knock on the door and ask for the gold and silver," because it's all strategic. He said, "Now is going to be the time of favor." Yeah, knock, knock, knock. "Hey, it went gold and silver." Yeah, my God, get it and get out. Here it is right here. You know, my God, get out of here. That's God's favor. And when I can break this down a little more about how we're going to have favor. Oh, it's just sweet Jesus. That's all I can tell you. Oh, my God. I mean, and you're going to look at this story and the thing that I'm talking about, and the reason why I'm talking about this about with communion, even though we haven't even taken communion yet, because I want to prepare you for when you take communion, what you're taking communion for, so you're not just taking it just to, "Oh, yeah, we're for healing." It's just for healing. It's just for you know, forgiveness. It's just, yeah, it's all that, but it's everything I'm telling you right now, but that's what they were celebrating was the Passover and everything that went on with the Passover, including the wealth transfer that went on. Every bit of it. But people don't see that, blind. And hopefully God will open our eyes 100-fold. We'll get understanding, 100-fold understanding before this is over with. So you'll be able to know that God Almighty, not a human being, God Almighty himself orchestrated this whole thing and just happened to tell somebody who just happened to be listening. Well, really, you didn't have much of a choice. God chooses you, even though you have a choice. It's kind of like you don't really have a choice, but you do, but you just choose. You choose anyway, right? You choose what he wants because you're chosen to choose what he wants. And so you just choose, just like the Egyptians. He said, "Come on in and take our money." It's like I told God one day, I said, "Yeah, come on in and take it over. I mean, you know, might as well, whatever I got."
And God says, oh, okay, Randy, honey, yes, we're going to take over your life because you asked us to. Literally, I'm telling you, that's it. That's it. We're going to get into that some night, too, about how that works. That is mind-boggling. It's a trip. You want to go on a trip? We're going on a trip tonight. Yes, we are. And I hope you're able to hear this. Go back and get the archive and listen to it again, because I guarantee you there's a lot of stuff in here you ain't getting. Sorry for the mute. I muted myself because I blew my nose. And I didn't want everybody to hear that. And plus, I drink my water, too. It'd make a lot of noise. I drink water. So, pretty cool, y'all. Pretty amazing. And just the few people that we have, and amazing, the few. We get the few sheep over here in the wilderness. And wait to see what God's going to do. And I don't really care if it's one or 50 anymore. It doesn't make a hill of beans to me. That's why when people say they're going to go, I say, okay, all right, off to the vista. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Well, hopefully we'll see you soon. Come back and see us. Yeah, because, you know, when you start understanding that God is with you in something, and when it all gets breakthrough time, it's not about how many people are with you. God just needs one person, and then people will walk with you when you do what God says. But, you know, that, in that sense, you need them. But God, they will come because they follow Paul as Paul followed the Lord. You know, and it was obvious that Paul was following the Lord. It wasn't some mystical experience of, I wonder if he's following the Lord. You could tell it was obvious that something was going on supernatural. Though he's not a man that could speak well. Believe that or not, Paul was not a good speaker. I know I'm not either. So, yeah. Anyway, okay. Wow. We went on a little trip. I'm trying to plant these things inside you. I hope I didn't mute out some important information. I didn't stay muted for long, I don't think. I get, there's so much stuff goes on this show. People are giving and people are texting me, and I'm trying to preach and talk and share, and, you know, sometimes I mute myself, and thank God you guys caught it, because I don't really look it right at my phone when I'm doing it. I'm preaching. I'm looking somewhere else. Thank you for helping me. Done it many times right here on the show. I've done it many times. Thanks for your help. All right. Those of you who want to give tonight, thank you for that. I'm trying to mark all those down. We're going to take communion next, right? Don't forget we're going to take communion. Okay? Stay obedient to God. Don't get distracted. Communion, yes. Yeah, don't get distracted. It's going to be it's distraction season. It's like we used to be hunting season. I'm going to go hunting for quail back in my old high school days. You know, my whole family was, you know, we like to hunt quail and pheasant. When it comes to quail and pheasant, man, it was season for it. Man, you set your life around it because it was so much fun. And then we ate them. You know, we didn't just kill them. We ate them. They were awesome tasting. All right. So it's season for distraction. So please don't get distracted. I'm trying to warn you. It's distraction season, and that distraction season is heavily designed to distract you. Come through friends, enemies. It may come through me. If you're not, you know, if you may get offended at something I say. I mean, you got to be careful. Don't let offense come and distract you from God's design and purpose for your life. Because believe me, He will do it. He will make sure you're offended. You hurt your feelings. He hurt my feelings. That's why I left. No, you left because you got distracted by the enemy. And, and you lost track. You got off track because of that. Don't be blaming people. You can always forgive. Lesson love. Okay. All right. I'm going to just a minute here. I'm going to gather the money together, and then we're going to, because we're talking about the wealth transfer and communion, talking about the purpose of it, and that, hey, like that favor stuff, man. He liked that favor God gave him. Wow. Talk about orchestrated favor. Whoo!
Lord and my God. But let me tell you something. We're going to talk about this some night, but about how, why he had to do it like that. He had to do it like that. There was no other way. There was no other way. That's just the way it had to be. We're going to see that part of God. We're going to see that part of God. And believe me, you want to see that part of him, because you're going to see it in a different way when the Lord and I show it to you. Yeah, when you see it, it's going to blow your mind. Because it is so awesome. And you understand God, and that way you won't reject him when he does, when things happen. Could you imagine the Israelites getting offended at God? God, I can't believe you're going to tell us we're going to get that money. We got the children dying, dead out there in the front living room, and their husband dead, laying down, and their animals laying dead. They're all dead, and they want us to go in there now. That hurts my feelings, God. You know, I ain't going to do that. That's wrong. You know, we should have a compassion on these people. Right? That's what you would think we would think. But it's just, we'll talk about it. We're going to talk about it. It's going to just rock your mind, baby, Bubba, and brother. It's going to rock your world. Hey, I can see why God gives these jobs to a prophet, because it's a prophet's job to explain this part of God's character. Literally. Okay. Okay, I'm still adding it all. I'm going to do communion. When I get all the offerings come in, I'm going to do a batch of offerings here, because people give during the show. And then when I get through with that, we will, I'm doing it right now, we will take communion, the very thing we've been talking about, right? And understand, you guys are understanding what communion is really about. It's a lot deeper than you think, than most people think. Do not get distracted, please. Because it would be disheartening to tell you, you missed it. You missed it. And believe me, when God tells you you missed it, you really missed it. And you don't want to be told that. When the five wise virgins told the five foolish virgins, no, not getting our oil, you got to go get your own. And they're going to be saying this to some people. We will be saying this to people. I'm not talking about in particular TGN people. I'm talking about in general of what's going to happen. The people aren't going to pay attention when you tell them, when you teach them things. They're going, well, that's not the way I was taught it. So then they're not going to be ready. When they're not ready, it's not going to be our fault. It's not going to be my fault. I wash my hands of that blood every week, basically. Every week I wash my hands of the blood of people, because I got it documented. Not only I don't have to have that documented, but God goes like, yeah. Okay, Chandler cleansed his hands. And I am. And I will, by the grace of God. Okay, hang on a second here. But I will guarantee you one thing, friend. If God tells me to do something, I will not hesitate to do it. You're going to find that out about me. I will not hesitate one ounce to do it, whatever he says. You need to know that. Okay. It was different kinds of favor. That kind of favor. That kind of favor. Well, yeah. How can you kill them and then expect us to go in there and get the money when they're laying there and they're dead? They're in there crying. I feel sorry for them. I ain't gonna do that. God's going like, well, then that's up to you, honey, Mister. All up to you. Okay, I'm getting closer. Here's one more minute. We're going to take communion. I'm getting all this. Make sure I try to get. This is how I forget offerings. Is I don't go back and do it correctly and take my time, because a lot of this goes on during the show. Okay? So you'll know what's going on. All right, let's go back here and try this one more time, then we'll take communion. I think we about got it. Make sure I got this. All right, let's take communion, y'all. Thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you for listening tonight. Thank you for, sometimes I think God tests people and he just has me being I go roaring, snorting through the garden and just spitting and snorting and, you know, hot, you know, getting excited, and people get offended and they leave and they don't have a clue. It's like, it's all strategy of God. And I can back it up, every bit of it, by the Word of God. And I don't do it on purpose. It just starts happening to me. And they're like, why are you talking like that to that person, God? Can't we be a little nicer? So just do what I tell you to do, Randy. Talk straight the way I tell you to talk straight about particular things. Be very straight. And many times he's testing people. And I don't know that. I don't know what's going on. I'm just kind of questioning God. Like, I'm sure the Israelites, some of them did, but, you know, the women going there, they're compassionate, feeling like, oh, they're dead. Their baby son is dead, and we're in there taking their money. It's like, how can we do that? And he's like, oh, God. You know, it's kind of like, you know, yeah. Sometimes you want to feel sorry for people because they had every opportunity to do it, and they didn't do it. Every opportunity, told over and over again, and they didn't do it. Really, really going to be hard on some people when you have to tell some people, sorry, didn't obey God. Don't blame it on nobody but you. It's all your problem. Sad as that is, hard as that is to talk about even for some folks. All right, let's lift it up tonight. Let's take communion tonight. Paul the Apostle is confirming here that Passover or communion is something for the future. And the purpose of it all, there's one thing you cannot forget. And looking at the whole picture of Passover, when you eat the Lord's Supper, you're eating a huge picture of a lot of things God did and said and the way he did things, a lot of his characteristics and a lot of his nature and the way he deals with heathen, the way he deals with people when he gets jealous. Oh, my God. I don't know if some of y'all are ready for it. I don't think some of y'all are ready for this. You better get ready, because it's going to come whether you're ready or not. All right? That's why we're teaching this stuff, when we talk about it. Very few people are going to be ready, because we have people who listen to the show, you know, secretly, so to speak, privately, and spread our information around. And, you know, I could talk about some of the details on that and give you even names, but what good do they do? Just believe me that God is getting stuff out there, and he has ways of doing it, and very beautiful. Anyway. Paul the Apostle, for I received from the Lord himself, that which I also delivered to the church, to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night of which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's see it, friend. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for your body, Lamb of God. That your body is our meat, your will. Your will is our meat, not just doing things. Your will is our food. Some people want to go join the biggest, baddest, most wealthiest, most popular, most largest thing in the world, whether it be company, friends, ministries. I want to be a part of that. I want to be where the big stuff is. And they're going to find out. Like Jesus, when Jesus got his disciples together, and there's a few of them, in the bigness of the temple and the bigness of the word, they couldn't figure out why he keep attacking all the religious people that we're going to need favor with. We're going to have to get in there and take the temple. We're going to need them. He's going like, you don't understand. I'm going to do away with them. All right. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, what I did, but me. And when you remember him, of course, you remember what our precious Jesus himself did. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you the glory. Learning about Passover and how it applies to what's happening in the globe as we speak. We've been doing the Blood of the Doorpost. We did the Blood of the Doorpost for about 8 or so years, right? And, of course, when the studio thing went down, you know, and then we transitioned. And the only reason I have confirmation that the studio thing was supposed to go down, are y'all listening to me for a second here? Let me give you just a little bit of information. The thing that confirmed to me that the studio, the old studio, the renting of the studio was time for it to go down, which made no sense to me, was the fact that it all happened at 11:34, right? I wrote a check for, you know, rent ahead of time, sent it to them ahead of time money, you know. And the check number was 11:34, so I had to cancel it because they told me that I couldn't sign the contract because I got somebody else, that I couldn't stay there because they had signed the contract. Somebody signed a contract for a year or two or three, whatever it was. I went, oh, wow. So I just canceled the check. Check's 11:34. So I go down the street to the U-Haul, and I'm thinking, well, you know what? I'm going to rent their truck. I might as well rent their storage here. So I rented their truck, and their storage right there. And, you know, he picked it out. He said, what size you need? Ah, well, this size and that size. Well, okay, I got three of those. How about this one right here? He just said the number's 11:34. And I just got to doing the check thing, right? I'm going like, what? I said, dude, 11, you just say 11:34? He said, yeah, is it okay? I went, no, that's not the problem. 11:34, I just canceled a check, 11:34, for the rent. And I tried to explain it to him. He looked at me like, oh, yeah, really cool. He didn't have a clue what I was saying. Right? So 11:34 was confirmation to me later, because it was all about the election. 11:3 was the election. Biden was announced the winner 4 days later on the 7th of November, which was confirmation of, you know, the word we got in 2018 about 3 years and 10 months. That was the 11:34 was 3 years and 10 months from the warning we gave about Caligula and Trump. See, I don't know if you're able to connect with this. So the confirmation for me was, because I kicked myself for not, you know, I could have renewed it for another year and just lost a little bit of money maybe or whatever. I just didn't want to lose any money, right? That's what I was thinking. And, man, so God got me out of there. And then the 11:34 thing confirmed to me that had I not gotten put out of the studio or not signed the contract, I wouldn't have ever stopped the 11:34 check, and I would have never rented the 11:34 building. It's all the 11:34 doubled. You think something's doubled that happens in a dream or whatever? It's sovereign. And all that told me that move was a move of God. Basically, he tricked me, in a sense, to do it, especially he does it in the end. Oh, Randy, we're gonna do what I want. How are you gonna do that, God? I'm gonna trick you into it. I'm gonna make you think this, and it's like, oh God. And he did it. But it was him. So that's why I look back at that going, okay, I quit groaning and kicking myself, because 11:34 confirmed the whole thing. And it was not just one 11:34, it was double 11:34, and then triple in the sense that it was 11:34 for the election. 11:34, 7 days later after the election, was the election of the winning announcement of Joe Biden being the winner of the election, 11:34. All that came together, and God says, see how that all worked together for amazing confirmation? It blew my mind. To this day, I have to go back and rehash that to, you know, tell myself what was the purpose in that, God. It's so obvious. It's not even funny. All right? Y'all making sense to you tonight? So thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you for your body. Thank you for healing people. Thank you for delivering people. Thank you for having your way in spite of us. Thank you for giving us favor in ways that we don't even understand. Thank you for giving us blessings in ways that just seem cruel sometimes. Like, do what? You want us to knock on their door now? We can hear the mamas in there crying. They can hardly hear us knocking on the door because they're in there wailing over the loss of their husband and their firstborn husband and their firstborn child. And then their sweet, precious animals that they lost. It was horrible. And you could hear the cry all throughout Egypt. You want us to do it now, God? Come on. Let's wait till in the morning when they're feeling better or weak. But God knew if they waited a day longer, they were going to change their mind. And sure enough, they did. And then they went after them. That's when they crossed over the Red Sea. It's a whole lot to this, y'all. I hope we can grasp it all and put it in the now. It's not just some past thing that went on. No, this is for what we are about to experience in the now, prophetically. 1 year from now, I talked to, I've been getting information about the red heifers. 1 year from now, less than a year, in April, in Passover of next year, the red heifers will be ready. They will be ready to, we don't know if it's going to happen for sure or not, but the red heifers will be of age, if they're still all red, which it looks like they are. It's definitely doing good. Their mamas are red, and they're 4 years old, 4 and 5 years old, and they're still fully red to this day. That just has never happened with another red heifer. So this is amazing that the mamas are at 4 or 5 years old. They're still fully red. Okay, just keep that in mind. So what's going on is that one next year at Passover could very well do the celebration. It's called a celebration for the cleansing of the temple because the red heifers will be ready, and Passover could very well be the time when they have that altar built directly across from where the temple will be built. Directly across from that is the Mount of Olives. They bought property. They own property. Byron doesn't own the property himself, but the people he's partnered with, I thought he owned it, but I found out that the people he's in partnership with, the Jews, the head of stuff, the Jewish people own it. Jewish rabbi, I got his name, owns that property on the Mount of Olives, and it is exactly the same latitude as where the temple is going to be built. So they're going to build a bridge across the Kidron Valley to connect where the temple is going to be built, and they're going to be able to offer up that, do that ceremony next year, less than a year, actually, at Passover next year. Dude, oh, my God, are you hearing this? I mean, we don't know for sure going to happen, but that's what it looks like. They may do the ceremony just to get the ashes ready, whether they can build a temple at the time or not. You know, go ahead and do the ceremony. And what they do is they get the ashes from the heifer. They burn the whole thing. They don't eat any of it. They burn the whole red heifer. It's a complete burnt offering. And then they mix the ashes with some Kidron from water from the Kidron, from the springs, from a living spring water. They mix it, and that's what makes the purification, believe it or not. So they've got all that stuff. All that stuff is actually there now. And they own the property. They've owned it for a couple of years now. So that could very well happen. They could very well do the ceremony, not build a temple, but do the ceremony to get the ashes and the water to cleanse the priest and cleanse, you know, open up the door for the temple to be built, y'all. And when that gets done, that is the sign, a major, huge sign of where we are in the end of the end. And that is, there is not, I don't think there's any scholars anywhere that contradict that I know of. Throw all, let me know, but this is an amazing thing going on, y'all. We're right in the middle of it, prophetically, especially 3 days after we gave them the Antichrist, the red heifers were delivered. They're the best red heifers they've ever had because they're, like I said, mamas are 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old, as Byron said, and they're still fully red. Let's give those Jews. They're extremely, extremely excited. They've never seen that before. Coming right here in Rockwall, Texas, right down the road from us. Amazing. Amazing. All right. If you want to give tonight, you can do that. be a part of PGN if God allows you to. We'd love for you to be a part of PGN. If he speaks to you, that would be so awesome. Just obey God, pray, do whatever he tells you to do. We're going to have phase one of the transfer of wealth. That's the next big thing, the really, really big thing, really major thing going on. And we're getting closer by the day, by the week, by the hour. But we're getting closer to that, which I know the date of that. And anyway, that's what's going on. All right, so if you want to give and be a part, that would be awesome to be a part of what God's doing in the prophetic realm. I just can't see why everybody in the whole world is not jumping in there helping us. I just can't. It's just hard for me to conceive that. What is going on? And then when you start realizing, I'm going to share some things with you here soon about why I believe that's really going on. Okay? Give me just a minute, and I'll be right back with you, and then we'll pray over offerings. All right, y'all, let's pray tonight. Thank you for that. Wonderful. Andrika has been praying, y'all have been praying with her about the her son, Tyreek, getting a graduate assistantship. Is valued. He got it. It's valued at $42,000. Wow. She said God is faithful. Tyreek got the graduate assistantship valued at $42,000. Wow. Congratulations, Tyreek and Andrika and Chris and oh, family. That is amazing. Hallelujah. Woo. Jesus. Praying for more blessing. $42,000. Wow. That's amazing. I love it. I just love it. That sweet Jesus stuff. All right, y'all. Awesome. Let's pray. Let's believe God tonight. Let's pray over offerings tonight. Thank you for being with us. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your offerings. Thanks for what you do, Lord. And thanks for being obedient to God. Make sure be obedient to God. That's what you got to be obedient to is God. Not people, not things, not stuff, but to God. And friend, when you are obedient to God, I guarantee you, he will bless you despite anybody or anything. It does not matter. It may not look like it's coming. And then all of a sudden, surprise, surprise, surprise. Here it is. All right, let's pray over offerings tonight. Thank you. If you want to give tonight and you're listening to the show tonight, you haven't been able to do that because you don't have a link or something, you can text me at 214-505-8719, and I will text you the link to that so that you can give. And there's also you can give to Zelle, Zelle. It's a bank thing where, they don't charge us any fees when you give through Zelle. So it's right straight into the ministry account and through Zelle. All you just have to know our phone number, 214-505-8719. 214-505-8719. Just know that number. Put it in there. Also, you can give through the Cash App. Same thing. Just know the phone number. Also, through Venmo, V-E-N-M-O. You can give through that also. Remember the number. Phone number, and you'll be able to access that. Same thing with Zelle. I guess I said that already, but you can access that through everything through the phone number, the Cash App, the Zelle, or the Venmo, either one of those. And also through PayPal. You have a PayPal account, but I can text you a link for that if you need the link for the PayPal to give on PayPal. I can send you a link. You can do it instantly, and it can be there for you if you want it. All right? And just by texting me at 214-505-8719. And I will get you that link, and you can give tonight, and we will, of course, pray over it, as we always do. All right? Awesome, man. All right, hang on a second. Oh, wow. Oh, I've got Carmen's. Carmen sent me that text. Thank you, Carmen. Thank you. Did I get it in there? No, I didn't. Thank you, Carmen. please go back and listen to the teaching if you would, and just kind of get that in your spirit. It's going to be so important for the future. I know sometimes you think you got it, but I don't know. Anytime, even when I teach it and get it, I go back and rehash and look and meditate on it. So I want to, because this is foundational stuff for everything that's going to happen in the future, including the plagues, including, you know, the rapture, the pre-trib, post-trib, the whole understanding all that. It's all right there wrapped up in communion, believe it or not. Just so easy to get. All right, hang on a second. We're going to pray for offerings. So give me just a moment. We'll be right back. Pray for offerings. All right. All right. Thank you so much for giving. Actually, if you want that link, send me a text requesting the link at 214-505-8719. Be part of that. All right. Okay. All right, Andrea, $5. Thank you, Lord, for Andrea. God, we just, Jesus, we bless you for showing her that she has a tongue of wealth, God, in her tongue. In her tongue is wealth, Father, the wealth of her words, the wealth of her prayers, the wealth of her coming to agreement with God, the wealth, show her the real wealth that's in her tongue. It's also connected to her heart, of course. Because with the heart, man believeth, and with the tongue, you know, mouth, we speak. And you're showing her the truth about all that, God, the real, you know, the real truth about confession, what it really is about is what the wealth of our mouth, like the prosperity is not just, you know, money, it's prospering the will of God, getting the will of God prospered in the earth, getting the will of God prospered in the earth. When we prosper the will of God in the earth, then what happens is God, you know, blesses us. How do we prosper God's will in the earth? By getting his will done. That's really it. Whatever you do, whatever your part is, whatever your calling is, you make sure you don't let anything distract you from that, right? That's what we're teaching on the last couple of nights about. Don't let anything distract us. The devil will do everything. He'll get you to any kind of spiritual thing, but the right spiritual thing. Oh, we cast out devils. We prophesy. He says, get away from me. I never knew you. It wasn't that they were bad people. It's that they weren't doing the will of the Father. Right? So he'll get us to do anything spiritual, but that one thing. The devil will distract us with even prophesying. That's what it says. Casting out devils. This is an amazing thing. People get free from demons. Who could beat that, man? That's amazing. Who could beat the prophetic realm? It's amazing. But you know, he said, you know, get away from me. I never knew you. It wasn't that prophesying bad or casting out devils bad. It's that they weren't in the will of the Father. And that's the key. Thank you, Lord, for Andrea with that, God, to show that her tongue and her heart together, you've given it to prosper the will of God in the earth, to get the will of the Father done in the earth. Amen. In Jesus' name. That the earth does not come short of the glory. A curse will not come upon the earth because the children and the father's hearts to the children's hearts to the fathers. Bring that to pass, God, in Jesus' name. All right, Barbara, $5. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing, God, that you're pouring through her. You're teaching her how to yield to the anointing, God, how to keep her heart, you know, daily pure. Keep her heart every day. Stuff goes on in our hearts, as you know. Every day we could defile our heart, not with some horrible nasty thing, but just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. All right, it's a little fox in that spoiled that vine. And so, you know, it's not that the vine, we spoil the vine and go to hell. It's that we miss out on the power of God, the anointing of God, causes us, enables us to do the will of God. And thank you, Jesus, for that blessing. Thank you, Lord, for teaching her how to keep her heart clean every day from, you know, attacks and from people saying things. And maybe, you know, we might get upset with somebody, and maybe a kid or a loved one or a family member or a church member, some preacher or something, somebody says something ugly. We have to protect our heart. We have to cleanse our heart on a regular basis to keep it pure so that we don't miss out on the visitation of the Lord, God. I thank you for that in Jesus' name, that she will not miss out on the visitation, Father. She will cling to your will, cling to you, Jesus, no matter what it costs her, Father. She will do that, and she will be blessed and favored. All right, Daryl Paul, $9.99, $9.99. Thank you, Daryl Paul, for that. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for the success, God. We thank you for the, for letting him see himself as a success in glory in God, that he will see himself walking in the, not coming short of the glory. When we come short of the glory, that means we're not prosperous, right? We're not successful. But we walk in the glory. Walking in the glory isn't like carrying some heavy anointing so much as it is, you know, doing the will of the Father, right? Being successful is not about how much money we have, how much people we get saved, but it's how much of the will of God are we walking in. Amen, in Jesus' name. So the higher level of the will of God we walk in has nothing, there's no comparison on the deeds. It's about the about what the God said did and what people did. And the more that we do what God says, right, 99%, 100% of what God says, well, we'll be up there with all the apostles, all of them, because it's who does the will of God, not who wins the most souls or makes the most money for the kingdom and all that, right? In Jesus' name, open that up, God. Hallelujah. Spread the word. Spread the love. Show him how to walk in prosperity, God, how to know that he is a successful person. Success is God saying, well done. When God says well done, Jesus hadn't even done anything yet. And the Father's saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. Right. Amen, in Jesus' name. Let Daryl Paul hear that from the Father, from his Father. Well done, Daryl Paul. Well done. Even though you haven't really done that much yet, you know, I see where you're going. I see your heart. I see your love for God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, Karen, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Karen. Thank you. You know, I went one night, I was looking at the offerings that over there, must have somehow, I don't know why I was looking at them, but doing something, and I saw this, I thought it was a teaching I was doing. How about teaching, get in here on the offering night with the offering, and it was one of your prayer requests. I thought it was so funny. Now, that girl had one long prayer request. I don't remember what it all said, but it was like, you were claiming everything, you were believing God. You know, it's like, dear Jesus, amen and amen. So we thank you, Lord, for having whatsoever you say. Thank you, Jesus, for that teaching this week, showing us that in John, where he says, you know, if you abide in me, or if you remain in me, and let my word remain in you, whatsoever you ask. Wow, because it creates the passion of Jesus. It creates the will of the Father. It connects us to God's purpose for our lives. It's the only thing that satisfies us. It's the only thing that's truly meat for our life. Is that in Jesus' name? We thank you, Lord, for opening her up, God, and showing her, God, in Jesus' name, how when she prays and asks, get that prayer list, that thing going on, that God's going to give her whatsoever she asks, because your word remains in her. Doesn't come and go. Remains in her, God, and she remains in you, Jesus, as a person. Hallelujah. I speak blessing over you in Jesus' name right now by the power of God. All right, Paulette, $15. Thank you, Lord, for Paulette. Thank you, Lord, for that spirit of success in her life, God, that she feel like, you know, feeling like your success. It's going to go all back to the same thing. I had a feeling tonight. I don't know, but being a success and feeling worthy and feeling like we are of value. Jesus' greatest value of himself came from hearing his Father say, you know, good job, son, you know, before he even really did anything. But because he knew his heart, he knew what he would do. He knew that he was only to do what he saw the Father do. And that's what got Jesus great pleasure and great acceptance from the Father. Amen. It's that he did that. He walked in that. And I thank you, Jesus, for Paulette, God, that her heart, Lord, is to be, you know, well pleasing. Well-pleasing is, and success, our success level is, in our joy, and our peace level, our satisfaction level, is according to the level of the will of God that we do. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, that Paulette walks in that, lives in that, dwells in that, Jesus. You can satisfy her, fulfill her, not just make her blessed, make her happy and blessed. Not just give her things, but make her happy and have those things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all those things. All those things will be added to you. And I thank you, Lord, you're adding to her in Jesus' name. Amen. Let her faith begin to reach out. Let her faith be happy faith. Paulette's got this happy faith. My faith is happy. Because I don't go around and put my faith into just anything and everything. I invest my faith into the will of my Father. Amen. What he says, find me to believe for. That's what I believe in. All right, Jeannie, $18 from Texas. Thank you, Jeannie, for that $18. And thank you, Jesus, Lord, for breaking every fetter, every bondage, God, for showing her how to come into agreement with the anointing. In Jesus' name, our protection comes from, as we know, the will of God. Our protection, our security, our fulfillment, our prosperity comes from, you know, the will of God. Like the woman had 2 pence, you know, even though it wasn't much to most people, but in God's eyes, she was wealthy. She was super generous. And I thank the Lord for Jeannie, God, in her life, God, that she's generous. That she's blessed, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Break every bondage, every fetter, Father, from any genetic issues, anything. I said a lot of good genetic things going on, but the thing, we all have negative ones. We all have them. They come from Adam. We thank you, Jesus, for breaking those things, for breaking those bondages, and just overwhelming her with blessing, God, with anointing in Jesus' name to watch the will of God be done. Name, hallelujah, to see it with her eyes. I only do what I see the Father do. And she will see, her eyes will see, and she will hear, and she will know. She will know the voice of those who are called of God to be a part of her life. She will know their voice, because in their voice will be the will of the Father. And connected to her and her will and the will of God for her. I mean, those voices, they resonate together. They unite together. They come together in unity in Jesus' name. All right. Sally from UK, London. Thank you, Sally, $20. Thank you, Jesus, for Sally. Lord, we thank you for that. I see some kind of a spiritual experience happening to you, like a hair-raising thing, like a, you know, a good thing, like a thing like, whoa, did you see that? Like God's showing you that he's watching you. He's listening to you. He's hearing your heart. He's hearing your struggles. He's hearing your battles. Sometimes God allows us to go through a dry season of different ways for different things to break us down into the area where we tap into the water that is deep within that never runs out, right? We never depend on surface water again or surface blessings, but we draw from Sally, from the deep wells of fellowship with Jesus, to the deep wells of the glory of the Father. That is deep within us, that the well that never runs dry. Things get dry on the surface, but you know what? You can go out in the middle of a desert, and if you can find where to drill a well, there'll be water flowing right underneath it, and then around on top of it, it'll be just nothing living because it looks like it's all dead, and yet the water's right underneath. Hallelujah. You're tapping in. God is tapping you in. And she's going, you can have it like a, like you drill and drill and drill, and all of a sudden, blow, here comes this big boom, explosive thing of oil pouring out. And everybody goes, wow, we got it. We finally brought it. We dug. We need to get, ever going to get down in there deep enough to catch that river of oil in that case. Amen, in Jesus' name. Let it be done. Sandra and Robert, $25. Thank you, Lord, for Sandra and Robert. Thank you, Lord, for their confidence, God, for growing them together, Jesus, for helping them to lay aside every weight that so easily besets them, God, and helping other people to lay aside the weights that so easily, the things that do us, Sandra and Robert, you know, like in my life, it's so easily besets me. It's like, you know, I had some things not long ago that happened to me. It's like, I found myself in unforgiveness, you know, over it. I'm going like, I can't believe I'm in unforgiveness over this. It's starting to be. It was still heading that direction. Well, what am I doing, man? It was just so, it just happened. It was kind of like, it's real easy and, you know, easy, and it sure beset me. I mean, I didn't realize it until I found myself pretty angry, you know, with these people and upset with them. I found myself in a little, starting to get a little bit bitter. Right? This has not been that long ago. It just snuck up on me. You know, sometimes the things that sneak up on us, the enemy's so good. It's just like, you know, getting something that doesn't seem like much, but it really hits us. And we have to watch our hearts, right? Because if we watch our hearts, we keep a clear head from hearing from God, and we don't get all cluttered with that unforgiveness. It is so easy to happen. It can happen in relationships. You know, with husband and wife, don't let the wrath, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. I mean, you can't go bad angry, but don't go a bit wrathful. You know, that's not just for couples. That's just for situations. Like going to bed with, you know, and it happens to every one of us. Every day stuff happens to us, and God teaching you how to, you know, keep your heart in that place to where, you know, you don't let it build up, build up, build up. And then so you're sensitive when God says, come up here, you're going to just go right up, you know, in the spirit realm. And I'm not talking about the rapture either. So much I'm talking about being, you know, the Lord catching you up in his presence. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Like, communion says examine yourself. So every time I take communion, I examine myself. Okay, what am I doing? What am I thinking? What's going on? Jesus, I can't fix it. You can. You've already fixed it. Help me see it. I take communion. And I go on. I thank you, Lord, for teaching us how to deal with things and just move on. Deal with things, move on. Deal with it. Don't make a big deal out of it. We wait for 3-6 months and we deal with things. You know, we don't deal with it daily. Gives us there our daily bread. And then we end up with this big mountain, or at least a hill. And we could have dealt with it when it was a little pebble. You know, that's what God's showing me all the time, you guys. All the time showing me that. Don't let that stuff build up. Because when it does, it just stop everything and go fix it. Instead of, you know, continuing. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks for warning me. Thanks for showing me. Amen. And keep them in the blessing, God, because it's all about the distractions that the enemy tries to bring to us. Is doing anything and everything but the perfect will of the Father. Yeah. Amen. All right. Amen. Robin, $25. Thank you, Lord, for Robin. Thank you, Lord, for her security, God, that she finds her security in you, Jesus, that anywhere she feels insecure, and we all, you know, I think we have this thing of feeling insecure as human beings. We feel insecure because we know we know it. We're limited people. We're human beings. We go up and down. Sometimes we really mess with stuff. We make mistakes. You know, we get caught in situations that catch us, you know, with our armor off. Sometimes we're trying to relax, and all of a sudden, boom. You know, and I thank you, Jesus, for her, God, that she will be equipped. You're equipping her. You're showing her how to stay equipped and stay ready in Jesus' name. And to believe you on a daily basis, to believe you on a daily basis. Like I heard somebody say a long time ago, inch by inch, anything's a cinch. So even in dealing with a mountain, we get so overwhelmed by the big things. The Lord says, okay, just take it inch by inch, inch by inch. Pretty soon, 3 months into it, wow, look at all this, how far we've gone. You know, a year later, it's like, oh my gosh, I'd have never dreamed. We got this far, inch by inch, anything's a cinch. Because we take it inch by inch, it doesn't get overwhelming, right? And God goes, sometimes that's the way a mountain gets dealt with, is he removes it, it's inch by inch. And like I told somebody one time, I was prophesying to him on the show one night, and I said, put stand in front of the microwave, cooking that potato for like 5 minutes, and sitting there counting down 5 minutes and 4 minutes and, you know, 59 seconds, 4 minutes and 58 seconds. I said, go get busy doing something. Pretty soon that microwave will go ding, because it'll be ready, and that baked potato will be ready, and you can eat it. Instead of standing there waiting, it seems like when you stand there and watch it, you know, it just takes so much longer. But if you get busy, so there's ways that God's going to show you how to keep your mind occupied in the right ways to, you know, to deal with things, you know, because we all deal with things every day. And inch by inch, anything's a cinch. So give us this day our daily inch, right? Our daily inch. And instead of looking at the overwhelming of it, inch by inch, anything's a cinch. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's, you know, in our giving our life away, that's in giving our time, even giving our money, giving whatever God has us give. We may not be some big overwhelming amount of time we spend or big overwhelming prayer we pray, but it's every day we hit it a little bit every day, a little bit every day, a little bit every day. Gives us there our daily inch. And pretty soon you're going to find it like, oh my gosh, we have come all the way through this mountain, this hill. I didn't even know it. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Terrence and Tanisha, $26 and then $3.56. Thank you, Lord, for that. But up $30. Thank you, Jesus, for that. We just bless them, God. We thank you, Lord, for your favor on their life. Lord, we thank you for the friendship and the favor, God, that they are to each other, and creating that friendship in the body of Christ, teaching each other how to get along, how to work together, how to lift each other up and build each other up, and a real team on how to you know, walk side by side and find out how to give the other person what they need, if we have it, and not hold back from it, and always being a giver, giving our loved ones, giving our mates what they need. And thank you, Jesus, for that we don't starve people, you feed them every day, you know, on a regular basis, it's like we eat meals every day. We need to feed people what they need every day. And I think it's you that Terrence and Tisha learn how to feed each other every day, what they need. And yet we get our food from God. Of course we get our food from God. But God brings people in our lives to feed us certain things. Like my pastor for 10 years at the church, he fed me what I needed. I mean, what did I need? I didn't need him to micromanage me, you know, which he didn't. You know, I needed him to, you know, just go, hey, Randy, I really love you. I appreciate you. Go at it, man. Let it rip. I'm going to trust you. I mean, I needed that. I needed that bad. And because I've been so, you know, misunderstood many times by other pastors and leaders, and I've been a pastor and leader myself. I was one. But, you know, to be under a pastor, be under somebody who nurtured me with that, you know, it wasn't like he put his arm around me all the time, hey, buddy, really a good old boy. You know, no, he let me do my thing. And then just, you know, honored me for it for the most part, almost every time. You know, it's amazing. And what did I need? That's the thing that I needed the most, and he gave it to me. God used him to give it to me. So we learn to give to each other the things that we need in God, and we have to have all the other people in our lives who give us what we need, trust, and you know, permission to make mistakes and fail and be good and you know, be successful and sometimes not be successful and still keep going on, just like, you know, hey, we're going to make it. Let's keep going. We need that, to be fed that in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Deborah and John, $32. Thank you, Deborah and John. We thank you, Lord, for them, God. We thank you for Deborah, Father, following your footsteps, following you wherever she goes. Yeah, so following after him, learning how to follow him every day, and seeking the lost. Seeking the lost isn't just seeking a lost person, but it's seeking anything that's lost, anything that's not part of God, anything that the enemy has in his stronghold, anything the enemy has, you know, that doesn't belong to God, like property, land, people. You know, families, situations, ministries, things. You know, the earth. You know, it's lost. It's been lost. Like Satan's. You know, or Adam and Eve actually lost. They gave it away. You know, and yeah. So anything that's lost, like evangelizing anything and everything in the globe, right? Land, property. Like God is very interested in land and property, because land and property is the thing that he wants for us to, you know, grow children, grow families, grow food, to feed people, you know. And that, so everything belongs to God. He's already paid for it all, and it all belongs to him. So thank you, Lord, for teaching them, Deborah and John, how to evangelize, look at evangelism in a whole different way. Amen? And discipling in a whole different way. They're going after the things that belong to God. Take possession of it. And bring it back to the Father. Hallelujah. All right. Okay. Give me a minute. I'm back. All right. Deborah and John, you know, that thing about evangelizing, that's pretty cool. Never thought about that before. Well, like gathering things in, you know, gathering in the harvest. That's, you know, saving things or winning things back or getting things back that belong to God, getting back the minds of people, you know, their minds have strayed. So they need teaching, they need revelation from heaven. you know, to get their minds back. It's like we're evangelizing what's lost, you know, from lost minds, where people have lost their mind. They've got all the wrong teaching. They believe all the wrong things. We get their mind back. We capture the mind, you know, save it. The Bible, how we save it is we, with being grafted to the Word of God, we, you know, the soul is saved, you know, or, you know, regenerated. So thank you, Lord, for letting me see that. Amen. As Holy Ghost evangelists, except in just, they're not just saving souls and people, saving spirit, man, but we're bringing salvation to the earth. Amen. Bringing salvation to the earth. Okay. All right, Angela Lanham. Thank you, Angela, in Jesus' name. She said, pray for somebody here. Pray for Kiara to be healed and delivered as Crohn's disease. Wow. I don't know anything about Crohn's disease, but thank you, Jesus, for the delivering power of God Almighty. Thank you. We give you, Jesus, we give you glory and praise and honor for Kiara, God. We just take authority over any thing trying to distract her from her life with God, which is being able to serve Him. God, just, you know, sometimes you can take anything, take what the devil means for evil, and turn it for good. We thank you, God, for Kiara. God, you're going to take this thing and you're going to turn it in for good for in her life in Jesus' name, by healing her, by touching her, by changing her, by letting her mind be renewed, teaching her mind how to be renewed. Where her mind doesn't just wander all the time. Wander here, wander there, and wander all over. But God, where she's able to focus and keep her mind stayed on the Lord or stayed on whatever she's trying to do. Sometimes, you know, God can have you, you know, clean the house, and you can get distracted from cleaning the house, and you never get it done. So you feel bad about yourself. She needs to be able to focus in Jesus' name on what she needs to do from the Lord and get the job done so she can feel like, you know, hey, I'm doing what God wants me to do. You know, He loves me no matter what. But when I start doing what He says, then He starts trusting me. And there's nothing like being trusted by God. When God trusts somebody, ooh, it's amazing. It's truly amazing. There's nothing more like hearing the Father say, my beloved son, who I'm well pleased. My beloved daughter, who I'm well pleased. There ain't nothing like that. Nothing like that, as you all know. Hallelujah. Wow. All right. Angela was praying for you, Angela Lanham. Thank you for the 32. I think I said that. But thank you, Jesus, for that balance you bring in her life, with her time, with her effort. Sometimes a balance is spending 3 days doing nothing but what you want to do, focus on one thing. Well, how's that balance? You're doing and then you spend the next 3 days doing something else. And then you go, get to where you go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Balance isn't just like, you know, spending half your day doing the thing you like and half the thing that you need to get done, you know, like balance out the day. It's about finding the balance overall in your life. You know, like spending 3 days obsessing, compulsing over writing or doing or having fun or doing things. And then the next 3 days you spend, you know, so however God has you do it, to find a balance in your life so that you don't, you know, so that you get what needs to be done, get done what needs to be done in a timely manner. And where, you know, you don't feel like you're neglecting anything. You know, sometimes when I get hyper-focused on something, I feel like I just neglect everything, right? But when God has me focusing, how can I feel neglect? That's condemnation. He has me focusing 3 solid days on something, and you know, I may let things go for a couple of days, and it seems like it, you know, and I'm like feeling bad. I'm like, oh, my God, it's a distraction. You know, there's times that you obsess compulsive over something. You get the job done. And then when you got it done, then you can go do all that other stuff all you want to. So sometimes the job is finishing the job or getting the job done or, you know, working in a fashion where you can, you know, get stuff done on a regular basis and, you know, hit it a little bit every day. So thank you, Jesus, for that, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in her, God, that learns how to seek after you and find you. And that sometimes we can seek We can seek after you in ways that that we seek until you find you, and then once we find you, then, you know, like you say, we can become obsessive compulsive with seeking God. You know, why would God allow somebody to be obsessive compulsive about seeking about something? Because he knows that if you don't do it, you're never going to make it. You're never going to, you know, make the focus enough to connect in. If we don't connect in, we kind of halfway, half-baked get checked in. Then he wants us to check in 100%, right? And so sometimes it takes, you know, if you will, just taking 3 days and just focusing on something and spending all your time doing it. People are going, oh, you're neglecting this. You say, yeah. We say, hey, wait, when I finish this, I'm going to be able to do all that. I'm going to have a lot of time to do this. But so thank you, Lord, that you'll teach her what a true balance is, not in man's eyes or the eyes of men, but in the eyes of God. Amen in Jesus' name. All right. All right, Greg, $10. Thank you, Lord, for that, Greg. Thank you for that, Greg, for that $10. Thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus, that every suspicious thing, everything that the enemy calls, makes you feel suspicious about or thrill. You know, we all, there's a lot of conspiracies going on all the time. And it's just things that I feel like going, okay, what's really going on over here? You know, we get suspicious, or we get that thing of, you know, some type of conspiracy thing going on. And sometimes it is. Sometimes it really is a conspiracy. Sometimes it really is that stuff going on. And so God's wanting to, make us aware of it. But, we don't just live there, right? So sometimes we're feeling suspicious about something, or like a conspiracy theory going on with something. You know, sometimes we may find out that it's not. Sometimes my mind goes right to the worst thing. Sometimes it is a thing, but it's not the worst thing. So I'm looking at the worst thing, right? And then the worst thing never just seemed to be there. And I go, oh, it's just a little bitty thing, but that little bitty thing could have turned into a big thing. I thank the Lord that you're teaching Greg how to catch those things before they become big. To catch those things, in Jesus' name, to discern them, to know how to keep thoughts from getting out of control. You know, we can have a thought about something. If God was to say, you know, if God was coming to me and said the economy's going to crash, the first thing I think is, oh my God, it's going to happen tomorrow. You know, oh my God, it's going to go down tomorrow. I'm not ready for that. Kind of find out and say, do it tomorrow, or you know. You know, when you hear things that seem to be overwhelming sometimes, or warnings, or fearful things that seem to be trying to be on the horizon, we have to find the balance of what that really means. Because some people overdo everything. And because they do, they overlook it because they're overdoing it. We'll find that place of finding that ground where we are, you know, able to take, you know, a hard message, a difficult message, and balance it out to where it's something that's spiritual and yet very practical. We're like going, yeah, that could happen. Yeah, that could happen. Sometimes they're really good things. Sometimes we overdo the really, God's really going to bless you, and we think, oh, yeah, my gosh, you're going to bless me. And the blessing is going to be a really good blessing, but it's not going to be the way we thought it was. But eventually it led to bigger things, but it was ended up being a small thing. At first, it appeared as a small thing. You know, like despise not small beginnings, right? Because small beginnings turn into huge endings, you know, good things. So teach him, Lord, show him in Jesus' name, open him up, bless him, let the anointing be on his eyes, let him see and understand in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Charles, Nikki and Charles, $40. Thank you for that. Get over me. That is a due Social Security claim. I get dual benefits. Yeah. Why not? I come in agreement with that one. Yeah, we thank you, Jesus, for that. We thank you, Lord, for your servants, God, Nikki, asking for that, requesting those things, God. We just come in agreement with her in Jesus' name to get all the money that is due in her Social Security claim, that she get dual benefits, yeah, in Jesus' name, and everything to take care of business, to bless and increase and multiply them, Father. Let them, whatever paperwork they got to fill out, whatever they're going to do, just give them the wisdom on how to do it correctly. And, you know, in Jesus' name, and receive that blessing. You know, receive the blessing. Hallelujah. All right, for Charles, God, we thank you for Charles, God, that you, you're still wanting to open up this thing about the Father's provision. the provision comes from the Father. When we believe the provision we're going to have is coming from the Father, sometimes it gets delayed. There are delays. Some things, you know, do hinder us. But God is trying to open up your mind to get you to agree with Him, to really believe that you're going to prosper. To really, really believe it. Not just talk about it, not just believe, but that you really believe He wants you to prosper. Like the teaching I did this week on He really wants us to bear much fruit. Much fruit is getting plenty of stuff done because God wants us to help people and do things. But we got to really believe that, right? And I think the Lord for Charles' mind together, you bring his mind to a whole other level of truly, really believing that you can bless him. He doesn't have to wheel and deal like Jacob did and others and then finally get it right later. You know, he can just trust you, God, in Jesus' name, to be blessed. Amen. All right, Angela Joy, $50. Thank you, Angela, for that 50. Thank the Lord for the eye-opening experiences, God, you've given her, Father, for the experience you've given her, Lord, and the ability to transition when she needs to, the ability to change over into the things that she needs to change over into. You know, like sometimes we go, a certain amount of time, you know, at a certain level, and then all of a sudden God says shift gears and go into a different level. And we just keep doing that and keep doing it to be able to shift and make those changes. Sometimes the blessing comes with making changes. You know, you said, okay, you know, I want you to expand your cords and get ready. You know, so what does that mean? That means it's, most of the time it's in our mind, in our heart. Our mind has to be renewed. So God starts renewing our mind, Angela. And when he does that, he shows us that he wants to expand us. And wants us to believe it. Because sometimes things come, but we don't see it. Why? Because our mind hasn't been renewed. Right? I've missed many blessings because my mind was not renewed. I just can't even imagine when God said the plague, the angel of death came, and then that night they went to the, you know, right in the middle of death, mothers crying over their children being dead in the room, asking for gold and silver. I mean, that would take a lot of courage or something. I don't know what that took. When you think about that scenario, that's like mind-boggling. But it was God, you know, and so they had to know that God was involved in it and had to get up and go do it no matter what. Yeah, and it was truly difficult, you know. Hey, we're taking your money. I know your children did. Sorry. Our God did it, yeah. But, you know, we didn't do it. Anyway, but they had to really think differently to deal with that. You're so welcome. Like, thank you, Jesus, for that, for opening Angel Joy to that, Father. Because anytime we're getting ready to expand and go bigger, it first comes as revelation from heaven. Like, God's been dealing with me right now about the word, about wanting you to bear much fruit. You know, and I realized what much fruit was. It wasn't just about how much money I made or how much work I did or how many souls got saved, how many people I prophesied to, but it was about doing the will of the Father, focusing on that and that alone. Why mess with anything else? Amen? Yeah. All right. It says having my mind renewed means that I start going, okay, God, if you want to give me favor with the Egyptians back, you know, taking out their children and whatever. I mean, oh, my God, it doesn't make any sense to me. But whatever you say do it, I'll do it. I will knock on the door. As they're crying, you know, I'll do it. Because you said to. You said this belongs to us. Amen. So he did it. They did it. And they were successful. All right. All right, Chris, $100. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Thank you, Jesus, for the times and seasons, God, that he will understand the time and season, the purpose of. Sometimes there's a season to rest, and we spend time resting and laying back. And, you know, and so sometimes when I rest and lay back, the things that I've been, you know, looking for answers for, Chris, they just float up. Like they're there, but I'm so busy struggling, trying to figure out, you know, okay, God, what about this? Okay, how's that going to work? What's going to go in there? How's that going to work into this? And how are we going to take care of that? And so I work, and I get nothing. I lay back and I relax. I'm going to take it easy and like just take me a Sabbath or something. In the middle of that thing, when my mind really begins to rest, relax, you know, then all of a sudden the answer floats up. I'm going, man, why did I think about that last week? You know, but it came. It was kind of teaching you how to rest your mind, how to rest your faith in Him, and not, you know, not to labor in the wrong way. We labor, but we labor the right way. Showing you how to labor, how to work, you know, and how to work your faith. Because we're trying to work anything else, it just doesn't work very well. But how to work your faith, and thank you, Jesus, for that. And thank you, Lord, for, amen, for showing him how to relax. Okay, here's one of the examples I use when I talk about this. I used to watch the attorney movie. Andy Griffith used to play that. What was his name? I can't think of the name of that. But anyway, it was a good show, good weekly show. And he'd be trying to figure out this case, man. He had this really big case, and it's just hard to figure out to break the case, what am I going to go to court with, what information I have. And he can't think of anything. He gets so frustrated, his girlfriend calls him up, you know, hey, Ben, yeah, Ben Matlock. Hey, Ben, why don't you come have dinner with me? Oh, I'm busy. I'm trying to figure out this case. No, come on, honey. Come on, just have dinner with me. So he goes, okay, I guess I'm going to go. You know, so he toes and relaxes and sits there, and he enjoys the rut. They're talking, you know, just relaxing, and all of a sudden, boom, the answer came. His eyes get big and jump up. And he goes, I got it. She's going, got what? I got the answer, you know, because he was. So there's something about that, Chris, something that God wants to show you spiritually or something, emotionally, mentally, maybe all of it, where, allow the thing to come forth, let it rise to the top. Sometimes that only happens through relaxing and resting and getting distracted from the very thing we're trying to figure out. Amen. And just let the answers rise up in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for answers with Chris, God. You are the answer inside of him, God. He has these things that are right there in front of him. He can't see it. It's like on the road to Emmaus, Jesus was walking with them. They couldn't see. They didn't understand with him. They didn't know. They couldn't see it with him. All of a sudden, later, they ate bread. Their eyes were open, and they saw. He was there the whole time. I thank you, Lord, for Chris, all the things that are right there the whole time, that you will, as he eats bread with you, somehow fellowship with you, that you will open his eyes, Jesus, to see. They go, wow, I see. There, it was right there in front of me the whole time. I just couldn't see it. Dude, welcome to the community. I mean, that happens to me all the time. And, but I'm just thankful that I've learned, you know, how to, you know, find a distraction, go do something that, get away from everybody for half day, whatever. And Jesus would go off by himself and, the disciples were so pulling on him all the time, he had to sneak out in the middle of the night and early in the morning to get away from them to go pray, right, where nobody else would find him. And that was just time, you know. And so not just a prayer, but relaxation and then let the answers just – sometimes I think the will of God in him would just float up. What are you going to do today, Father? He has so many people chasing him down, looking, you know, to get whatever he had for them. He was extremely busy. So when he went out and relaxed, I think the ways of the Lord would rise up within him just like that, you know, from relaxing. All right, Andrika, $100. Thank you, Andrika. Thank God for Tyreek and Torrey. Thank you, Lord, for Tyreek. Thank God you blessed him in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that you will provide even more, bring more provision for the things that are needed. And everything that he needs, God, that you will show him your supply. Thanks for his mama and Chris that believe. Oh, it's amazing. And Rick is Chris, and I just got to be praying for Chris. All right, we get two Chris's back to back. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for Tyreek, God. You bless him, God. Show him that your favor is upon him, God. That it's just the beginning of favor. It's just the beginning of things. It's just the beginning of learning how to fight for what's right, learning how to believe God for, you know, for the things of God that he wants to have for you. Jesus, open his heart, God. Open his mind. Let him see how that this is just a stepping stone for much more. God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, and his thankfulness and his gratitude to you, God, for that huge blessing of $42,000 from graduate assistantship. Woo! Bless you, Lord. Amen. That's probably about, what, $10,000 a year, something like that. It's wow, it's pretty cool. or semester or something. I don't know what that would be, but anyway, awesome. And then Lord, we thank you for more. Hendrick is keep saying this prayer every time. We will work less and earn a whole lot more. Yeah, I'm going to start changing your name to Hendrick Moore. You know, the Moore girl, the Moore woman. Yeah. All right, Torrey, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Torrey. God, I thank you for making him joyful, giving him joy, showing him your provision, God, of how you can just bring peace to him. He learns how to maintain peace, how to follow after peace. And when you follow after peace, your body's healthier, your mind works better. When you learn to walk in peace and maintain peace, your mind, your heart, everything works together much better in peace. Peace is a thing that causes things to work together for good. Hallelujah, Lord, for Torrey, in Jesus' name. ESW Auto Sales, LLC, $50. Thank you, Lord, for that. And just thank you, Jesus. It's like treating it like it's your baby doll. I'm sure you already do. Like your baby doll, like it's your, you know, it's this, like it's your child or part of the family. And I thank you, Jesus, for opening up, the way for ESW Auto Sales to become a whole new realm of provision, Father, for your people, in Jesus' name. Kidnapping, you know, taking captive things, taking captive the things that belong to them, God, the things that belong to them, in Jesus' name. Let it be done, in Jesus' name, Auto Sales. The things that belong, taking it captive. It's like sometimes you have to take it by force. You know, as the Spirit of God guides, taking it things by force in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Sometimes you're just not going to be going, oh, okay, whatever, you want this? Okay. No, it's like all hell will fight, but all heaven will win. Yeah, because you know, heavenly information is everything. And I thank the Lord for that. The information realm is the richest realm we can live in, is the information from God realm. But we thank you for that information from God and walking in wealth in Jesus' name because of the revelation you've given her. For expectation levels move to a higher level. I know I'm praying over Drake right now, but $15. I'll get Chris in a second. But thank you, Jesus, for that whole other level of believing you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. To open up the eyes of the blind so they can see. Thank you, Jesus. That in this earth, God wants to bless us and make us much, much, very, very fruitful. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Breaking off every fear, God, every bit of dominance that would people who try to dominate, you know, over ESW Auto Sales and try to control it, do whatever it is. It cannot be. It is given to the hands of God. It's a blessing of God, call of God, chosen by God. Therefore, Hendrika and that situation cannot be controlled by anything but God through you. It happens through the owners. And Chris, God, $50 for Chris. Thank you, Jesus, for giving Chris that ability to take dominion over things. Learn how to take, like turn the other cheek. People think taking dominion means you just do take something. Sometimes it's the attitude we have towards something. Like turning the other cheek when somebody does something evil and bad. Best way to take control of that thing is do just the opposite of what you think control would be, and that is turn the other cheek. And then watch God turn around and bless you and give you that favor and give you that thing that you need and give you more than God. I think you're going to give Chris more than what he expects in Jesus' name. His expectation levels will be moving to a higher level in Jesus' name in the future months to come, in the year. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll work more. Thank you. She just leaves a little note here. As I read this earlier to everybody at the beginning of the praying over offerings tonight, your praise report. Wow. God is faithful. Tyreek got the graduate assistantship valued at $42,000. Amen, girl. That is like awesome. And Lord, let that just be the beginning of your blessing, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. For opening up that realm of provision. Open up a well in their thinking. Tap into the well where the flow never stops. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Don and Tanya. Thank you, Lord, for Don and Tanya. God, we thank you, Lord, for that $111. Thank you, $111. Thank you, Jesus, Father, for that submission, that's subjecting themselves to the leadership of the Lord, subjecting themselves to that God, to find that when you subject yourself to the Lord, that you can never lose, you can never fail. Nothing can overwhelm you, nothing can overtake you, nothing can conquer you. And then when we bow to Jesus, everything else is going to bow to us. When we bow to Jesus, everything in our life bows to us, through him, by him, and in his power. Thank you, Lord. This is all about bowing down. In Donald Tong, it's about bowing down. It's about bowing down. Who do we worship? Who we look to? Who's our source? Who's our supply? In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lamb of God. God, let them dig a new well. I see you like digging a new well, a new realm of, a new way of provision, somehow or other. Digging a new well. Yeah, digging a new well. A realm of provision. In Jesus' name, a well. All right, Carmen, 135. Thank you, Carmen, for that. We just bless you and thank you, Lord, for delivering the goods, God, for speaking those things that are not, you know, as though they were. It is in the Bible, you know. I know people abuse it and use it, but as you know it's in the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that she learns how to speak to those things, call those things that are not as though they were, as though they were. So, in other words, it's like you're actually doing it as though they were, right? Yeah, as though they were already. Wow, in Jesus' name. So the whole word I'm getting, the whole thing I'm seeing, the information that's sticking out to me right now is that as though they were. Let's look at that for a second. I'm stuck in the scripture tonight yet. There we go. All right, Romans 4:17, Genesis 75. Yeah, this is the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls the things that are not as though they were. All right, that's awesome. Because I kept seeing the words as though they were. Like that's you're calling those things which are not as though they were. In other words, like it's not this. It sounds like we're deceiving, or like we're trying to convince ourselves of something that's not. But we're trying to get to the point where we do it as though it was. Like somehow God's going to connect you to that. Will you actually walk in that, somehow showing you how to do that. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. A friend of mine sing this song, I will walk and not be weary. I will run and not faint. Something like that. Maybe the other way around. And that's what I'm thinking. The song is going through my mind right now. I will run and not grow weary. I will walk and will not faint. Something like that. Well, I speak that into her spirit tonight, God. I thank you, Jesus, for giving her that energy, God, that faithful, loyal energy, where her faithfulness is unto you, Jesus. Her loyalty is to you, God. Amen. Amen. I know a friend of mine used to say, oh, you're just a big, you know, you got your big brotherhood thing going on there, the Pastor Jerry, and that's what they were accusing me of. And I said, if they only really knew the things I didn't agree with him on. And, you know, but I never said anything. The Lord wanted me to, you know, learn how to, you know, not listen to what other people say about stuff instead of the realm of gossip and that kind of thing. Amen. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord, for opening that up and freeing the captives in Jesus' name and letting them go free tonight in Jesus' name. The freedom to the captives. All right. Nicole. $428.73 and then $101.01. Thank you for that. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Nicole. Father, we thank you for finishing the work, finishing, you know, Jesus said what pleases the Father is to finish the work that got started. Amen. And finishing the work that get started. You know, whatever that means, I don't know, it could be anything really, right? It could be, you know, moving to the next level, finishing, seeing something, moving to that next, that place, to the next level of seeing something, finishing it off, you know, what pleased the Father is finishing that thing which is started. So I thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Whatever that is, whatever that thing is showing up, that God, you will do that in the name of the Lord, and make that thing happen right now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Open it up, Jesus, and make it real. Make it real. Look, you know, like it's given to Carmen, that word about as declaring those things that are not as though they were. But I can kind of relay that over to you, that there's something about that. It's like this, he speaks of things that are not, as though they already were. You know, oh, yeah, I have this, you know, whatever the thing is. Oh, yeah, we're just, everything's fine. It's really coming along. You know, it's not even there yet. It's like I just kind of saw that at a whole different level tonight. And quicken the dead and call it those things that are not as though they were. This came alive to me tonight. I may get into that. I'm not sure, but that was powerful. Like, in Jesus' name, let it be done, God. Let that be done in the name of Jesus. Those things that are not, it's just that they're not done. You know, it's amazing. It has to do with raising from the dead too. You know, raising something from the dead, or as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth things which are not as though they were. It almost, you know, we know it's not deception, but it almost sounds like you're trying to convince yourself of something that's not, which would be crazy if, unless you know that it is. So it's like we become almost like delusional, but in a way that, you know, like when people are telling me I was delusional over the Trump-Biden thing, I'm like, I don't know, this sounds delusional to me too, but, you know, that's what the Lord is saying, that's what I'm getting, so I'm going with that, you know. And so I would say what he was giving me, and, you know, yeah, so, yeah, because I saw that in the spirit, and I spoke it, even though it wasn't yet. Well, Trump's going to come back in, and he's going to take it. I said, no, he's not going to take anything. And only because the Lord knew. If the Lord had shown me, I wouldn't know that. So I was speaking it as though I knew it. And I did know it, but you couldn't see it yet. It looked like it was going to all fall apart, according to what everybody's saying. Right? So there's this realm, Nicole, about this whole thing of, you know, really believing that it's as though they were. Quickens the dead and calls those things which are not as though they already are. Wow. Give us that kind of faith, God. Show us. Open us up to that. I'll take that. I want that in Jesus' name. Lord, let that be done in my life right now in the name of Jesus. Let it be done. Hallelujah. Amen. Open it up. 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 All right. Got Cheryl, $100. Okay. Let's see this one. Got this. Let's see here. Hang on a second. $100. $100 something. It is free and finished, whatever that is. All right. $100 from Cheryl from Florida. Thanks, Cheryl. That, in Jesus' name. Just got that. Well, thank you, Lord, for Cheryl, that I can agree with her that it's free and finished, in Jesus' name. 100% I can't read all that. I'm trying to have an option reading it. 100. Okay, that's the amount. It is free and finished. Okay. Whatever that's mean, what do you mean by that? I will come in agreement with you in Jesus' name. Let it be done. It is free and finished. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, we got people texting in that pray for you. Okay, we're going to do that in a minute, so give me just a minute here. Amen. So thank you, Lord, for that. Cheryl, 100 bucks. We thank you, Jesus, for letting that be done and free and finished. In Jesus' name, done. Well, we just declare it done. Just like we're just talking with Nicole and Carmen, that scripture, we kind of, you know, God's pumping through there. That's the right, just as though it's already finished. Thank you, Jesus, for that. In Jesus' name, let it be done as though it's already finished. In Jesus' name, as though it's already finished. Free and finished. In Jesus' name, we declare and decree that. I come in agreement with that, Cheryl, right now, by the power of God, free and finished. In Jesus' name, done. Hallelujah. And it's just almost midnight. It's 11:58. Just got the signal from Blog Talk. It doesn't show up the show until 1, but anyway, so there you go. In Jesus' name, well, we declare and we decree it finished, God, and done and blessed and brand new, everything good, everything godly, everything wonderful, everything precious in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, let it be done right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That God's going to raise up fathers for our children. And the fathers are going to love the children. The father's going to have a heart for the children. And the children have a heart for their fathers. Hallelujah. The level of relationship and respect. In Jesus' name, let it be done, God, the level of respect. In the name of the Lord, God, we just give you glory for that. In the name of Jesus, it is done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. And then Shannon, $25. Thank you, Shannon. All right. Guidance and protection. Prepare her heart for connection. I can't read the rest of that, but okay, thank you. There you go. Thank you for that. Yeah, but it just doesn't, I don't know why it does that on there. For wife's guidance and protection, prepare her heart and connect us. Yes, in Jesus' name. Yes, in Jesus' name. And the whole thing, Shannon, about that I've been giving Carmen, Nicole, and Cheryl both, all three of those, I'm going to say. And you also, that there's something about there's something about speaking those things that are not as though they were tonight. There's an anointing for that right now. In Jesus' name, there's an anointing for that right now. And we thank you, Jesus, for doing that right now. Hallelujah. Release that faith. Release that kind of faith, Father, in the name of Jesus, to open that up right now by the power of God. Hallelujah. To speak those things that are not as though they were. Shannon, I just speak that into your life. I speak that into your wife. I speak that into your situation. That you will start you're kind of shifting a little bit. That's good. In the name of the Lord, speaking those things that are not. It says literally that the truth is that at this point in the natural, it's not. But to start training your mind for what is going to be, in Jesus' name, as though it already is. I love that. That's new for me. The things that are not as though they were. We declare those things that are not in Shannon's life as though they were. He will start doing that. He will start believing God for that. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, we got different people asking for prayer tonight. Thank you for responding. My name is Deborah. Could you please pray for me? Info to send me. Oh, info for PayPal. Yes, of course. I didn't know you asked that. Sorry. She wants the link to give. All right, so give me a chance to do that right here. Thank you, Deborah. I didn't know that you asked that. So sorry. Yes, we pray for Deborah. All right, we're going to do that here in just a second. Thank you, Deborah, for that request. Also, we have Genevieve, can you pray for my son, Desmond? My son, Desmond, his lawyer, the prosecutor and judge will have a meeting to discuss the plea bargain and the new terms of an ankle bracelet tomorrow. Sometime they drop the charge he was put on it for. However, the plea is for other charges that they want to do time. Please pray. Help us pray for the favorite in the name of Jesus. God has been so good and faithful. Thank you for helping us. We'll update you. Thank you again. Yes, Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that. Okay, thank you. Yes. Yes, Lord, we thank you tonight for Deborah. Lord, we thank you that she sent $25 to Denzel. Thank you for that, Deborah. Thank you for that. I was just about to pray for you, by the way. It was pretty awesome. Genevieve, I hope you got that. You heard that prayer over your situation. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hang on a second. Deborah, I'm going to put your name down here. $100. Thank you, Deborah. All right. Thank you for that $25. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for as it is written, Lord, all the things that are written, God, that you open her up to all the things that are written about her life. And, you know, I don't know, Deborah, if you where you're at in the prophetic realm exactly, but Paul the Apostle in 1 Timothy 1:18, it says Paul the Apostle said to his favorite son, he said, go back and listen to the prophecies that you have been given, prophecies, more than one, and he said, go back and listen to them and recall them so that you can fight a good fight. So there's something about the prophetic realm that is powerful and that it opens up, to be able to fight a good fight. There's just something about it because it's personal. And most people don't have a clue about the prophetic realm. They just think it's just some, you know, some phony little thing that goes on. They don't understand it. It's like, so thank you, Lord, for that. And open her up to the prophetic realm, God, in a way that she never has in Deborah's life. Thank you for opening her up to that realm of the prophetic, in different ways. There's so many different ways the prophetic works. Thank you, Lord, for opening her up, God, for that call in her life. God, the calling that she answers, the call of her life. In Jesus' name, she begins to, forget those things in the past, reaching forward to the future, because that's what the prophetic is. It does. The prophetic realm does talk about things in the past to connect you to your future. You know, they say, yeah, you thought it was this, or you're doing that, or talk about dreams you've had, you misinterpreted them, like Joseph did, and, you know, now here you got something bigger and better than you thought. So we thank you, Lord, for showing her all the different places of the prophetic realm, God, and her purpose and her calling, God, in that whole ordeal of, you know, letting those things that are past, that are behind her, go be behind. You know, if you need to forgive somebody, then we forgive them. That's how you leave it behind. You deal with it and say, okay, God, forgive me, or I forgive them, or, you know, whatever, for what they did in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that she can, so you can leave what's behind Deborah, you know, in a way that was truly biblical and get it under the blood. Sometimes we think things are under the blood. I've had to deal with many things that I thought were under the blood. The Lord said, the reason you have a pattern of these particular things messing with you, Randy, is if you haven't really dealt with it in specific. I went, huh? That's in the past, Lord. The past is the past. He said, the past. He said, if you have unforgiven or kind of some kind of judge, some kind of something from the past, some kind of connection, a soul tie that you haven't let go of, he said, that's messing up your future. So you have to deal with the past to cut yourself loose from those things so you can move into your future. And I thank you, Jesus, right now for Deborah, God, that she's moving into the future and you're giving her an understanding of what she has to let go of. Now she, you can't just let go of something and say, I'm going to let go of it. Let's say that you have to forgive somebody for what they did to you. You know, God, forgive me, forgive them. I forgive them for what they did. So if you had unforgiveness, then as soon as you forgive them for what they did, it sets you free to move into your future, calling you to move into your future and showing you how to do that in all reality. Because you have that thing that's still connecting you to the past, you know, whether it was yesterday or 10 years down the road, 10 years behind you down the road, backwards, that, you know, you're still, it's still holding you back, right? So God's going to show you how to, you know, literally, you know, deal with those things and that need to be dealt with and move forward in Jesus' name. And God's giving you new eyes to see. You have eyes to see. And you have a heart to hear, and you have a heart to hear the voice of God. And when it comes to people or comes to circumstances, God's going to begin to show you how to interpret things. Amen? So you can interpret circumstances. Sometimes we have to interpret a circumstance. Why did that happen? A lot of people think, well, they think the worst thing. You know, oh, well, because of this. You know, we all do this. But sometimes you think of the best. But it may not be that. The Holy Spirit will come in and he'll say, you know, I'm going to give you the interpretation to that circumstance. What that's a sign of. Yeah, like it could be a good thing, could just be a warning, could be a, you know, symbolic thing to look for. You know, it's all kinds of things. Thank you, Lord, for opening her up to the prophetic realm, giving her eyes to see. All right, Jeff and you, 263-33. Thank you, Lord, for this new venture that they're on, God, and for bringing things to pass in their life as they step forward. They've, you know, stepped out of the boat again. How many times have they done that? A bunch of the time. And I thank you, Lord, for the victory and the freedom. God, to bring them liberty to be able to do what they need to do in liberty. Well, they can do it in liberty. Compromise with people. Using wisdom, yes. Compromise, no. Using wisdom, yeah, we use wisdom. Sometimes wisdom looks like it's compromising. But sometimes wisdom, you know, is you know, a whole different thing. You know, especially being wise as a serpent. That you're moving into that realm of wisdom that is wise as a serpent and yet harmless as a dove. Or gentle to them. And we thank you, Lord, for that whole realm of wisdom, God. You're giving them how to deal with people, how to deal with things, how to test things. Sometimes we have to test the thing before we dump money into it, right? God's giving you ways to test it. And then once you see the test is good, you go for it. The test is not good, you have to drop it, or at least temporarily sometimes. So thank you, Lord, for showing them how to test things, how to discern things, how to see. In Jesus' name, and open up so that the, you know, we're always going to have waste. There's going to be waste in our life, no matter what we do. But even with waste, sometimes of loss, and like the guy who invented the light bulb, he had a lot of waste. But he was always growing and learning from the waste. You know, he would throw that one away because that didn't work, but he learned something from it. But I thank the Lord that they learned something from every bit of waste that they have. Every time they try to put another light bulb together, and it doesn't quite work. You know, long, it worked for a few minutes, and it just kind of, what did I do wrong? Okay, I didn't put enough of this and put that right kind of that in there. Change that. Next time it goes for like 2 hours, and then it burns up. Okay, so I'm getting the general idea. Here, we're going to get this. That they never give up, God. Never give up in Jesus' name. The devil's strategy is to get us to give up. Amen. And so thank you, Lord, that they will never yield to that strategy. They will only yield to the Lord God. And moving forward with him and learn how to keep those strings, those attachment strings from stopping or hindering. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And open up those doors, God. Open them up. Open up the provision realm. open up the legal things that they need, bring the right people, bring the people that, that will have the right things, that have the right information, even if it's only temporary, that at least they have it and they got it in Jesus' name. Hang on a minute. Thank you, Jesus, for that. With Jeff and you, God, we thank you, Lord, for the whole thing of restoration. And not just restoration, but how to maintain restoration, how to remain. You said, remain in me, and also my word remain in you. That's how things are kept right. So we thank you, Lord, that he'll always remember the word that you give him, the things you share with him, the wisdom you give him, and that wisdom that's wiser than a serpent, wise as a serpent, and harmless or gentle as a dove. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. That provision realm, open it up, Jesus, in Jesus' name. And cover, let him be covered. They're giving him insurance, like a covering, like an insurance. In Jesus' name, a covering, like insurance. Amen. And God's going to insure you and cover you. Okay, I guess we're going to call it a night tonight. That's about it. Wow, what a great night. And God working things out. The ministry of people, I love it. I love Thursday nights. There's a whole different kind of anointing goes on a Thursday night. We have Wednesday night where we prophesy and minister to every person. And then Thursday we pray for offerings. That way we get to minister to every person during the week that wants to call in. They can call in and we will minister to them. You know, all we do is give us their name, put a statement from them. That's all we ask. We have to do anything else. And then we just pray and prophesy over them like we would anybody. And it's truly, truly amazing. It's really, really cool how the prophetic realm, you know, sometimes the information just seems real simple. Like, you know, what does that mean? You know, okay, it sounds a little, but, you know, when God's speaking something, that means he's gonna start giving you information. You know, it's like a puzzle. So in Jesus' name, open up, open up, open up, open up that puzzle. God, bring the puzzle. Let it come together. Let them see it when the puzzle is put together. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right, y'all, I guess we're going to call it a night tonight. Thank you very much, and hope you have a good weekend. Oh, wait a minute. Nicole just gave 444. I almost missed that. Thank you, Nicole. All right. All right, 444. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, let it be done. Thank you, God, for, you know, even travel. I see you traveling. I see you going, you know, places, traveling, meeting with people and, you know, for strategies, for purpose, for, you know, for end-time things, for things that are coming up, things that are coming to pass, things that are developing. And, you know, God positioning you to, you know, think like, you know, being in the right place at the right time and in the right season. God moving into the seasonal realm of understanding seasons, that when the season comes. In other words, if we know we're not going to be growing any fruit during the wintertime, right? So we just relax and we do different things. We focus on other things when it gets ready for in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for opening that up. Yeah, for, you know, connecting with the right people, connecting with the right things, standing, that being in the right place at the right time with the right information to either, you know, get information to you or you give information to other people and giving information, giving what you know. And God quickening you, showing you things, showing you then visions and dreams and showing you things and then showing you the timing of a thing, you know, at least kind of the general timing of a thing. so you can come into agreement with it and be there or be something. You know, I don't know if you actually go there every time, but to be in that place. Amen. I'll open that up in Jesus' name. Let that happen. Let the provision be there, Father, and in the name of the Lord, and let it come together. And, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let it be done. All right. Jeannie is talking here. Let's see. Move on. About finances. Hey, next winter. Hay prices are out of sight, I bet, nowadays, as well as money put back for insurance and taxes. That is always provided, and I know that, but I've been, you shouldered the responsibility. I don't really mess with it. Exactly. That's a lot. That's a lot to shoulder. Yeah, so we thank you, Jesus, for showing Jeannie how to, you know, cast that care on you, how to, you know, the scripture that really came to me really strong tonight is a very common scripture, a very well-known scripture, just to speak those things that are not as though they were. That really, I was ministering that to, I think, what, Carmen? Who was that? I think it was Carmen. And I just saw the words in my mind expand those things as, and called those things which are not. And here's the part that really stuck out, as though they were. I just kind of, it's like God said, as though they were, Randy, as though they were. Why are you saying as though they were? No, it's as though they were. So thank you, Jesus, for helping us with that, helping Jeannie with that, helping all of us. We prayed over about that tonight, that we call those things that are not. They're literally not, as though they were. Literally, as though they were. God can give us some revelation about that, as though they were. That was a huge, like, boom in my mind. And I didn't even remember it saying that. And I knew it said it, but you know, I don't know how to explain what I saw. When I see something, it's like begins brand new to me, even though I've read it 100 times. So something about that, as though they were, calling those things that are not, as though they were. And that's the part that I saw. So God, you're imprinting that in our minds. God, show us how to speak those things that are not as though they were. Not going to be, but as they were, as though they were, not as though they're going to be. There's a lot of people, I think I probably looked at it like that, you know, but he's saying as though it already is, as though they were. But they're not, but as though they were. Woo, somebody's getting some faith on that right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bingo tomare vita. Here's the Amplified Version. It says, in the sight of him, God gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Ooh, that's even heavier. Calls into being that which does not exist. That's like God saying, let there be, you know what I'm saying? That's what that reminds me of. Like, let there be, you know, and there's not. But it's like, I have a feeling that we're going to move into that. I've kind of not understood, I mean, I understand it to a certain degree, but I haven't understood it with God showing me what it means for me. Yeah, there was something about it. So God, show Jeannie, show all of you, I prayed over that. You're speaking that to us tonight. It's for all of us. Something new you're doing. In Jesus' name. As though they were. Okay. Traveling, huh? That's interesting. Traveling, that's a lot of work. But when it's God work, right? Yeah, okay, awesome. Well, I think that's it. I think it's 12:23. Hope you listened to the teaching, the talking about communion tonight and all that. That was absolutely powerful, in my opinion, trying to show us things that are going to happen to us, you know, in a very close fashion. Yeah, just wanted to get a hold of it because it's not something we're just trying to do a teaching. It's actually prophetic. Absolutely prophetic. All right. All right, y'all going to call it a night tonight. Thank you very much. Been a great night tonight. Hopefully we were able to help you understand things and see some things. And I believe God with us for those things that need to be done. All right, let's do that. All right, good night, everyone, one and all. We love you. Yeah, karma says I received. Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm telling you, Carmen, that struck out. When I started quoting that scripture over you, in my mind, that part just exploded, exploded. It expanded in my mind. Yeah, very, very interesting. All right, we love you guys. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend. And don't forget to speak those things that are not as though they were. Literally, as though they were. Wow, that just... All right, well, I'm going to come up with some... God's going to give me some kind of way to explain that, maybe to help with it. Maybe you can have something. You guys have something, too. But I'm believing God to show us something, a way to understand that. It's all that understanding. All right, good night, everybody. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.